people.
Look at this. Look at this. It's sending this to Jennifer. Please check out CEL. It still smells.
Good evening. Good evening. Today is March 11, 2013, and it is the Policy Instruction Personnel Student Services Committee meeting. And Carlos, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
And the first agenda item, please.
Item A1, Attendance Review Committee. Presenter, Ms. Fierro.
Ms. Fierro.
Per legal policy for FEC Local, which stems off of FEC Legal, in order for a student, if a student is absent for more than 90% of the time, is absent for more than 10% of the time and wants to make a credit student, that the principal can create an attendance plan with the student. However, if a student is absent between is present between 75 and 90% of the time, then the board has to approve an attendance committee. Mm-hmm. The attendance committee has to be the majority of teachers. Mm-hmm. So if we look at, I met with the counselors last week to establish the committee and ask for your approval for this committee. They recommended that we have a grade level assistant principal, a grade level counselor. This right here says a truant officer, but since I met with them last week, we decided to put that as one of the other members. 5 classroom teachers, as legal policy states that the majority of the committee has to be classroom teachers. The attendance clerk, a special education representative if applicable, and then other members as needed, such as at-risk coordinator, team parent, and that's where we would put the truant officer.
Okay.
How about counselor? Grade level counselor also, I'm sorry, I missed that, that's there as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just clarify. If a student's attendance block drops below 90%, the student can work with the principal to create a plan to make up the time that was missed. The time that is missed has to be around the instruction that was missed for the class that they missed. If it drops below 75%.
What if it's hard to get on 5 teachers though?
Well, the policy state has to be a majority of teachers. So if the majority of the committee, we can change that number from 5 to majority.
Because it's usually done during the day, no, during the class time? Mm-hmm.
So we can change that number from 5 to majority.
As it stands right now, how many teachers show up?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I have a question, Ms. Fierro.
Yes.
Ms. Quintana say majority. I mean, with the, going back to this discussion of majority. What is going to be majority? Is it going to be 2, 3?
More than half.
More than half the committee?
Mm-hmm. More than half the committee. The counselors wanted to put 5, 1 per core area.
OK. Okay. And what if the assistant principal is not available? Should you say designee principal / assistant principal?
What does it say in legal?
It just says it has to be comprised of majority of teachers.
Okay.
It says classroom teachers shall comprise a majority of the attendance committee.
Any questions?
Would they be able to get substitutes? If they have them set up, like say you set up hearings 3 days in a row or whatever, or 2 days in a row, and make sure that their classes are covered so that they can have one after the other?
Madam Chair?
Mrs. Brigham. Ms. Brigham.
Okay. We could do that. That's what we do right now when we at the middle school, when we have meetings that we get like two or three subs, and they rotate in as far as, you know, and some of them will be also scheduled, could be scheduled during their preps, some of it, so it wouldn't be every single one. The other reason for some background on why we're doing this is we've been looking at the high school, as you know, and one of the things that have come up that I stopped the attendance committees. And I stopped them because we weren't going to policy. So I had Ms. Fierro go over to the high school and meet with them. And we did that, was it last week, Ms. Fierro? And I went over once, Ms. Fierro went over twice. And so I stopped them because there was no administrator at the committees. And I feel it could be the principal or designee to be there. But they were being conducted by non-administrators, and that's what I needed to stop. So this is, and we had to do this right away, and thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for letting us put this on the committee, on the agenda, because we need to start doing credit attendance appeals for seniors, as you can well imagine. So that's why we're doing this right now, and it's normally we'd bring it to you in the summer, but this was something I saw that was happening right now, and we needed to correct it right now. And so that's why we brought this forward.
And the reason that Ms. Salaggio wanted to put grade level assistant principal, because she felt, for example, if the student was denied credit, they would have another place to appeal to.
Okay.
That's going to be my question. There is an appeals process?
Yes.
For the student that's denied credit?
They can appeal to the board.
I think it should be an appeal to the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Ms. Searles?
I think it should be appealed to the board also. And I did have a question that these teachers that will be on the committee, are they the students' teachers?
Actually,
or just random teachers?
Yes. They were going to have... They wanted them to be the department head, but we didn't want to box ourselves into having that in case.
So it
that
could
teacher.
It could just be random teachers.
But preferably yes. It would be okay. Not.
We're going to try, but yes, it could be. I mean,
I understand.
We're going to try, but you know, it's yeah. What Ms. Quintana just said. There might be scheduling issues.
Yeah.
So we really, it's easier if we say, okay, we're going to let these five teachers be on the attendance appeal committee for this year or for this semester, and then we get their subs for those days, and then we only have to train them every, and like I said, this is, and we'll come to you in July if we find that this isn't working, but what we had to do is we had to change it before. I couldn't let it go one more go by without us fixing it.
Thank you, Ms. Brigham.
And if the appointments are set up correctly, mm-hmm. I mean, one right after the other. Get it going so that they can finish.
Absolutely.
Fast.
And that was kind of the plan, that they would set a day aside to have mm-hmm. the attendance committee just bring them in. And there aren't that many that fall below the 75%. So, and we're trying to catch them before they get there.
Okay. I have some comments. You said that the committee or so-called committee at the high school, you're having no administrator present. I think there should be some documentation to that effect. Second, grade level assistant principal, Ms. Fierro.
Yes.
How many principals do we have at the high school?
Three currently.
And
assistant principals.
So Ms. Silvaggio said one per grade level. What is she anticipating? Is she anticipating she's going to be one of them? One of the members of the committee? Because you said there's one per grade level. What is she planning to do about the other grade level?
Well, currently, the new assistant principal has ninth grade and 12th grade for discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So my gathering that she would, that he would do the ninth and 12th grade. But
that's too many.
We can make it.
I mean, it's something that needs to be
addressed. Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. To where it's all four of them.
Well, exactly. I mean, we only have three APs so, and one principal. How are we going to address this?
I agree. Well, Ms. Gonzalez is also.
And middle schools, too. I mean, we have 6th, 7th, and 8th. I mean, not that I want to give him another principal, but. No, Ms. Parker, don't come asking for another principal. No 6 foot principals over there at your campus. Ms. Brigham, you have something to say?
Well, I was just saying that the
early college high school. No principals, no extra principals over there.
No, what I was saying is I do think that if we could put in, as long as we say, and Ms. Fiedel's in agreement with me, I know she's in agreement with me, as long as we say an administrator must be present. Because there are times when things happen. You know, your grade level assistant principal could be off doing another appeals process, whether it's, you know, it could be something. So I think we just have to absolutely put in that an administrator must be present.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened with the erosion that we did not have. So I agree with Ms. Gonzalez.
I don't think we should limit it either.
I think we just say that it could be assigned any high school administrator, the principal or three.
Okay, so we're going to delete the truant officer, or we're going to put
it
as other?
We're going to move the truant officer to where it says other members as needed.
Okay, so you're going to give us a revised one for the board meeting?
Yes, and I was actually going to put it into FEC legal.
Okay.
FEC local in blue.
Mm-hmm.
Under the second paragraph. FEC local states the board shall establish an attendance committee or as many committees as necessary for efficient implementation of Education Code 25.092. Superintendent or designee shall make the specific appointments in accordance with legal requirements. Legal requirements state that it has to be the majority of classroom teachers. So that's where I'll put it under there. That the committee will consist of an administrator, a grade level counselor, the attendance clerk, majority of classroom teachers, special education representative if applicable, other members as needed, appropriate depending on students need, i.e. a coordinator, team parent, coordinator, truant officer, etc.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, Manager, I have another question. The first semester attendance appeals, they were all done, all taken care of already, or?
No, we were holding off until we made sure that we had all policies.
So you're gonna end up doing first and second semester all together?
First semester, we're gonna start with first semester and seniors.
Mm-hmm.
There was a debate as to whether or not to wait until, certainly for our 9th through 11th graders, until we know, because if they have, you know, more than 10% absences, then it's a different plan than if it falls below 75%.
And up to this point, the ones that fell under the 90%, have their credits been held?
I believe so.
Yes.
From the first semester?
Yes. Yeah. We stopped all of the, including Because I'm 90%
They were behind, and I know I got a little bit of heat for stopping it, but they were behind anyways, and I said, well, we're behind, we're going to do it right. So,
and about how many students are we looking at?
It was like 75 all total. I'll have to look. I'd have to get, you know, I can get that number for you tomorrow. Is that okay? Because I don't have it off the top of my head.
But you know what? We need to move fast on this too, because have they done pre-registration? No? Pre-registration doesn't need a fact. It affects pre-registration.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And we're currently working on the policies and procedures for principal time, as well as what's being also in local policy for the review committee, developing to where it's there, it's specified, and it's not as ambiguous. And it has to be based on instruction that was missed in a class that was missed. So as soon as we get this approved, what we're already going to start on principal time, between 75 and 90%. We're starting on that right away. But we just had to get some things in place to make sure that everything was done appropriately. And then the attendance committee, we needed to bring for you first, because that wasn't done before. It has had more approval.
Okay. No further questions? Okay, we'll recommend it to the full board. Next agenda item, please.
Item 2, EAEP report.
Okay, you have 1 minute because she used all your time, so. I'm just kidding.
Okay, in the report that I provided to you last week, it gives you an overview of some of the aspects of the program. A couple of things, if you look at them, it'll show you where our strengths are and also kind of highlight a couple weaknesses. Starting with the teaching that we have, you can see the schedule we had to switch to second semester, and that was due to one of the teachers. We were on an AB schedule like the high school, but we had a teacher who was there, but his schedule was an ABC schedule, so it would not measure what we were doing. So we couldn't get him to cover all his required subjects in the part-time that we had him. So we had to switch to a straight period schedule each day, trying to get all of the classes in, so the classes are like about 45 minutes each. It is pretty rushed for the teachers to get through it that way, but it was the only way we could get the contact for those kids to get their math subjects on a regular basis. So that's one of our shortcomings there in the math department. Same thing with English. If you notice, the first teacher listed on that schedule shows there just for 2 hours. And that first part of that day, at 8 o'clock, we're just now finishing checking kids in, and they still have to be served breakfast, so that takes up, you know, part of her teaching time. So, obviously, that's way short of being an ideal situation for English. So those are the two areas we're really lacking in if you're talking about academics. As far as behavior goes, this year is so, so much better than last year. It is amazing as far as how well things are going on that end. Academically, though, we do need to work at it, because we need to give these kids every opportunity they have at their campus. And right now we're kind of shortchanging them a little bit in a couple areas just due to the fact that we don't have full-time employees in those subjects. So I'm hoping we'll get to improve on that one. The next part just gives you an idea of the placements we've had. We actually do have a slideshow. I'm going to talk fast so you can see it. It's very short. But it'll show you what the day in the life of DAP really is. So you can see what we do. It's got pictures of the kids and everything that goes on. And then at the end of that, it's going to show you some numbers over the last, since I've been hired here, just to show you the increase, which we talked about in the summer, how much it's gone up. So you can see comparatively the year's enrollment. Go ahead and introduce this one.
I was going to ask a question. Do you have the totals? I noticed here that you listed the offenses, but do you have those? Did you provide it? I mean, I know that you did not provide that to us, but do you have the totals, the current enrollment?
Yes.
And can you provide that to us through administration?
Oh, yeah, sure. And by offense, the total number of offenses. I told you to break down on which ones were the highest, or if you just want the actual enrollment as of today's date, how do you want it?
Yes, as of today.
Okay. By grade level, probably?
Well, by grade level, exactly.
Tomorrow morning, our sign-in is 32 on the high school side alone.
32 high school?
12 on the middle school, which is a very high number, and we just found out today just how heavy our load is in comparison to other larger districts. I looked at Ray Mateus's website, which you know is a full campus over there, and on their website they showed they have a staff of 40 people, you know, from custodian all the way through teachers to administrators to every position you can think of. They have social workers, three of them on campus, three security. So I thought their program had to be huge. I called the registrar today just to inquire what their enrollment is. Their enrollment is only between 80 and 90 kids total. And I thought she meant half day, because we've heard they run a half day program. So I thought maybe 80 in the morning, 80 in the afternoon. Had to clarify. She said, no, ma'am. We run 9 periods here, and that's the enrollment.
Does it vary?
Well, there's if they're the way they used to be, it was by semester. So, of course, as kids get in trouble, they'll come in. But if you look at the numbers, they have 40 adults working with 80 or 90.
But with you, does it vary with you?
Oh, daily. This week alone, we're getting 6 new placements. It's almost nonstop on the high school side. Mm-hmm. There's not a lull. We were averaging about 3 new kids a week for the last couple months or so. But now, like this week, it's going to be 6, and we can't fit them in there. We don't have the room for them. We have 25, 26 cubicles that we can utilize, which is the ideal setting if you're talking about DAP, so they have their own space, a little privacy. Mm-hmm. It controls the discipline. But we always have 30 kids, so we've resorted to having to release kids early, which is not the ideal way to run a DAP. I mean, you know, of course, we pick the kids who are almost out, but still, the speed that they're coming in at this point, like this week, I don't know what I'm going to do, because there's only a few kids who are close to earning their way out. In the next, you know, I didn't mind when it was 1 day early, 2 days early, but now when you're talking a week and a half before, that is not comfortable. And so now I don't even have 6 kids that are that close to getting out. So we utilize like tables like this and sit them, which of course is, you know, you take your chances, but we sit them side by side. So we pick the kids where we call level 3, the higher level kids. And so far that's been working, but I don't know how we're going to keep pace with the numbers. I guess I'll let you know next week after I see how the kids are coming in. So yeah, our numbers are very high. So we have half the TAES enrollment right now with 5 full-time employees, and they have 40. So we're doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to see it?
No. Go ahead. Proceed. Whatever you need to do.
Oh, he's already up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. In the next page, it just shows you the link of placement guidelines. These are guidelines that are provided to all administrators, anybody who should be handling placements. And this is just to make it, in my mind, it should make it much easier for them, because they just scroll down the list to the offense. It doesn't matter, you know, who the student is, do you like them, do you not like them, irrelevant football player, non-athlete. It should just be, what did they do? That's what you get the days for. Mm-hmm. So this was to simplify and make it a little more uniform, because it was all over the place before. I could get 4 kids the same day for the same offense, and they'd have all 4 different placements, and there were big differences in some of them. So I was trying to eliminate that, to make it very fair, very clear cut, so everybody knows what's going on. So administrators agreed that we're going to follow this. So that explains the placements. And so far this year, it's been fairly consistent. There have been a couple who've been off, but I just call back, and we try to, like, rectify and get it back where it should be so that it makes sense to everybody. And then it went on to explain to you the average length of stay, gives you how much it's varied this year, major type of offenses, lots of drugs, and then fighting. Very common at both levels. And then there's a few more serious things in there, but the most common is drugs followed by fights. Transition program is one of the other areas we're lacking in. We do not really have an official transition program for these kids going back to the campus, and that's a big issue, particularly at the high school. You know, they come in here and they get such one-on-one service. You know, we know who they are. We talk to them every day. We greet them by name. We shake their hand, and they leave. It's so personal to them, which, of course, obviously has a huge impact on their behavior while they're with us. And they get one-on-one tutoring, you know, stay after school or in the classroom, whatever it takes to get them to be successful, because that's what they need to be in this world. But then when we release them, they're just thrown right back out. There's 1,600 kids, and they go back to being that, in their mind, that nobody. They don't feel like anybody sees them anymore, and some kids can't handle that. And so the next thing you know, they'll be right back there and comfortable, because they're back to where people know them as who they are, not what their offense was. Because like I tell the kids, you know, once they step in the door, all we're concerned about at this point is what happens when you're in this room. We're not going to judge you by what you did before. Of course, we give a little talks about it. You know, we have conversations, hope them changing their mind about what they're going to do when they leave. But the reality is, then that's it. It's time to get started, and the day starts. And it's a very respectful program. They're treated, you know, the way we would expect them to treat us. That's what we tell them in the intake. We speak to them, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, please, thank you. And that's exactly what we expect back. You have to model the appropriate behavior. So it goes from that environment back to the regular high school, and a lot of kids just can't handle that, unfortunately. And now we have a slideshow. It's hard for you to see. Your projector's not as good as ours.
Oh.
Thank you. Ours looks so much better in the classroom, much brighter colors. That just gives you an idea. That's on the high school side, just to show you right now. This is all these pictures are from Thursday, Friday, and today. So it just shows you. This is the initial search in the morning. Kids start coming in at 7:30, and they're usually there waiting for 7:30. So between 7:30 and 8, we have to check in the 40-plus families. Parents bring them in. Parents have to sign them in. Kids sit on this little tiny bench. We can fit about 5 kids at a time. They have to take off their socks and their shoes while someone's watching. Go ahead. It's a physical pat-down search, as you can see right there. You're checking collars. You're checking sleeves. They have to have the sleeves rolled down to make sure there's nothing hidden in the sleeves. It's a physical pat-down around the waist, pockets, all the way down the legs. Turn around, you check their tie, pocket, they open their mouth, tongue up, just make sure there's nothing in there. Parent has to stand there while you're doing all of this, obviously. And then they have to hug their parent goodbye. And then the parent goes. In the mornings, saying the pledge in the morning. Everybody has to stand up, says pledge. They're all very compliant. It's very nice way to start the day. Breakfast, we have to go next door to the elementary school to pick up the breakfast and the lunches. That's our beautiful high class cart down there. We like that a lot because they used to have to carry them on trays when I got hired here, which is really difficult. So now we have the cart. One of the aides will go and takes one of the level 3 students. That's a privilege when you reach level 3 to go pick up breakfast and lunch next door. Plus it helps the aide, of course. Come back, distribute it out. Kids eat in their cubicles. They don't get up. They don't gather a table to eat. It's all their stuff is done by themselves in their cubicles. And then we pick up the trash from the students. The students do not move much at all. That's how you maintain the discipline aspect. Grouping by core subjects. Kind of hard to see in this picture, but there's actually 3 teachers teaching in that room at the same time. As you can tell by the hectic schedule on the front, anything that's a high school course that shows at the same time, it's all happening at the same time. So Mrs. Ballard is in the center there. On the far wall in the back is Mr. Melchor, the gentleman right there. And then you can barely see him over here to the left is Mr. Reddy. So we have 3 core subjects happening all at the same time. That is difficult, but there's not a better way to do it. With only 1 teacher of each core area, you can't split into rooms because kids need to be in different classes with different teachers. That's Mr. Melchor getting a little one-on-one assistance during the school day. These 2 teachers are very good, very nice about giving up prep time, because I try to give them a little bit of prep because there's so many classes they have to prepare for. They basically have to do it on their own time because during that, you know, when they're in the room, of course, kids, you know, they don't care if you're prep or not. They need help, they need help. You need to help them. That's the only way they're going to do better. So he did. Technology in the classroom. We do have the computers. Ms. Brigham has been very generous with us in this program in the last year. We've gotten a lot of upgrades across the board. Very excited about that. And then there's Ms. Ballard with her in focus, which she loves. ROTC, gentleman there, they call him Gunny. His name's Maldonado. He's very nice because we get ROTC kids there. They still have to wear their uniforms once a week, and we've come to an agreement. I used to take pictures of them and send it to them via email to show that they wore their uniform. Of course, I didn't know what I was looking for, if it was right. So now he stops by once a week, and he'll do the uniform check on each kid, which is awesome. Those kind of connections are key to making these kids reform, and we just don't get that very often at all. Rarely do teachers ever inquire. We can have a kid for 4 months and no one will even contact us to ask anything about them, not even in emails. So that would help these kids a lot to have a desire to go back, to know somebody cares there. I don't want them to think we're the only adults that care about them, because that keeps them attached to the program, and that's not good. Middle school media center. It's just computers along the wall. That's the release at the end of the day. Put their chairs up. They do have to shake hands with all the adults on the way out. Adults are instructed to stand by the door so that we can say goodbye, have a good evening, hand them their homework. And we are giving homework 5 nights a week. It's not necessarily academic. It's more of a responsibility issue. Whatever we hand you is just showing us you're responsible enough to step out, go home, do whatever it is, no matter how simplistic it may be, and bring it back. It's just trying to build that responsibility because a lot of these kids don't have that, and that's why they crash and burn wherever they go. You know, they fail not because they don't get it. They fail because they don't turn it in, because they lost it. You know, those kind of moments where we're trying to, like, overcome that while they're there. After school tutoring, the teachers are very nice and will stay without compensation to do tutoring. We stay every Wednesday till about 5:30 with students so that they get the extra help from 3:30 to 5:30. And then other days as needed, if students need to help, teachers, these 2 will always stay. And they will stay there to help the students. That shows you the placement numbers, how much they've changed. I don't know if you can see from there, but when I got hired in 07-08, they didn't carry kids over from 1 year to the next. We started with 0. There were only 57 placements throughout the year. And then 08-09, we carried over 2 who hadn't finished their placements, and we had 60. The next year, we carried over 14. That's kids who get placed late in the year and don't finish their days. Instead of starting to pre-pass on them, we make them finish them at the beginning of the following year. And we had 51 new placements, 10-11. We started with 15 and had 71 new placements. This is where the jump started to happen a couple years ago. 11-12, we started with 9 and had 81 placements. That was big. This year, we started with 13. We've already had 88 placements, and it's only the beginning of March. So obviously we're going to be over 100 new placements just for this year alone, plus the ones we started with. The program is obviously growing rapidly. This is from, which I know I showed this to Ms. Brigham already. This is from the best practices for DAPs in the state of Texas. These are the recommendations on what you should have to have, you know, the best functioning DAP you can have. Under behavioral practices, the good news is, those things that are listed right there, we already do all those. When you see RIT, that means we're not doing it or not doing it completely. So first one's good. We're good under the behavioral part. Instructional practices, we have a little bit issue there. We do not have an assessment tool of students to determine the areas of academic need. What we do is when we come in, we're trying to follow C-scope, which we'll get to that on the curriculum alignment. We have, of course, the two teachers that are full-time. They have aligned their curriculum to what the C-scope states it should be. So we should be where the teachers are if the teachers are where they're supposed to be. English, not possible. She's only there for the 2 hours to cover four grade levels. It's not going to happen. So we are nowhere near curriculum alignment there, not even close. Math, sometimes it is, and then sometimes it's not. Textbooks, we do have textbooks. Warehouse has been awesome. Gentleman is quick and will deliver whatever we need when we ask for it. Whoa, you left me behind on one. High expectations, obviously, that's a no-brainer for our program, but the bottom one, staff should be able to plan together, that never happens because there's no time. You know, everybody's got to prep in there for 45 minutes at a different time while other people are teaching. The kids are there from 7:30 until, like today, the last kid, they're supposed to be picked up at 3:30, parent didn't show up until after 4:30. So there is no time without the kids. We never get to be together without the kids in the room. It just doesn't happen. And this is our biggest need, transition and staffing practices. On that one, we're not even close. Communication between DAP and home camp is not as simple as that sounds. Obviously, I'm in contact with the campuses when they're placing kids. They're talking about the kind of things I want to see happen. When a kid's in DAP, they mean the campus should be keeping track of the kids while they're there. They even say the staff at the campus should try to come see the kids, you know, while they're there so they can see them in a different environment and realize these kids are very pleasant, very capable students because they sit in our room and they're polite and they're quiet and they do all their work and they, you know, it's like a normal classroom. And vice versa. It also states that when kids go back, it would be ideal if staff from DAP could go to their campus and follow up to keep that connection to let them know, but it goes both ways. I've asked administrators for several years now to please try to encourage, well, first for the administrators to come visit, but more than that, to have the teachers come on their prep so that they can see these kids, because, you know, they think this kid, Johnny's only bad. He doesn't have any, they don't see any redeeming qualities. I want them to walk in so they can see it's there. It just takes a certain environment to make it shine, but it is there. And I think that would give these kids a fighting chance when they go back because the teacher would realize there is another part to this kid, not just what they saw before they move them out to DAP. The next one, DAP staff remains involved after the student return. Talk about that. District provides a counselor or social worker to DAP. TAEUS has three social workers and a counselor for a total of 80 to 90 kids. We have a counselor, you know, they take turns, but like on the high school side, we have 30 plus kids and the counselor comes twice a week, 1 hour, 1 hour. There's no time to talk to 30 plus kids. You know, in one kid, once you get a kid in there, the kid wants to talk. They've got things that they've been holding in. I mean, well, you cannot believe the background on some of these kids. And it explains a lot about what's going on in their world. And so they get a counselor, well, they're not let go. They got called out first, that's my counselor for an hour. So, I mean, at the rate we're going, kids are lucky if they see a counselor ever. I mean, there are kids who sit in there and they never talk to a counselor the whole time they're in there because there's just not time for the short amount of time we have counselors. That's our biggest, biggest, biggest need. I was saying counselor, 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 but after I talked to somebody about a social worker and I see how, I don't want to say dysfunctional, problematic some of the family connections are, it's bigger than school. It's not the kids' problem. There's a whole dynamic at home because we know we see the parents every morning and they come in arguing and crying. And I really think a social worker is probably a better route to go because then maybe they could help the families, not just us talking to the kids. So I don't know, but really that's my biggest, biggest concern is that area because I think we could do so much more help. We could help them so much more in the short time we have if we had that component in place. Because some of them, that's all they need. So they just need someone that's going to listen and give them some ideas or just listen even. Sometimes they don't even want you to say anything. They just want to let it out with somebody. Of course, not in front of the class. You know what I mean? Somebody more than one. Next one, staff and teachers choose to work with students at DAP. That is huge. Obviously, these two chose to work there. This is what I chose to do for a living. And you can see the difference. There are teachers who are placed there. You can feel it. They don't have the interest in the kids that we do. They don't buy into the program the way we do. And the kids know that. You can feel it during the time that they're in there. That is a big one. It really has to be people who believe that all these kids can learn, all these kids can change. Like I told one of the employees, if you don't believe that, you shouldn't walk in the door. Mm-hmm. If you don't fully believe you can make an impact on these kids in a positive way and turn something around, you have no business here. So that is a big one. Really, really, really have to pick people who want to be here. And then the last one, teachers and staff are provided specialized training. They were mentioning it wants us to learn some safety procedures and what was the other one? Behavioral management techniques. We haven't had training like that. We got the CPI, which is the one how to physically restrain a kid, but that's not behavior management. That's like way after the fact when everything's gone wrong. So that we need to find a way to fit that in. We did schedule our own training with a gentleman when we had staff development that day. So we had a gentleman come in to talk to us about, because we're a little concerned because we're, you know, off-campus location, we're alone, there's no security. So it's just us there. So we came up with our own security plan, which is kind of funny. It involves shovels, if you want to know. Because we didn't know what to do if somebody was already having a trigger, so we had two shovels. So we had a gentleman come in and he was like trying to show us, you know, what you should do and, you know, what would be the best route to try to get out, what to do with the kids. And then he also went over the actual searches. He's an ICE agent. So he was trying to be helpful. So we were just trying to get something that would actually benefit us a little. Miss Valerie had a shovel. She was one of the shovel swingers.
And we were going to save.
Yeah, we decided he was too young to die. So we told him, can we go in a big closet with all the kids and be really quiet? And since we're older, we will try to fit him off for a shovel.
Give him the name of the committee.
The which one?
Committee. The name of the committee, the old ladies with the...
Oh. We were just trying. So that's what we have about DEP.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
And because I know DEP.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The living conditions there, how are they?
It's better than it was. You know, obviously, we had some issues in the new building. The building itself.
I still worry about you guys.
Thank you. The building itself, the one we're now, the structure is sound. It's not like the other one where the walls were falling apart, rain was coming in. It's not like that anymore.
Even the air quality.
Exactly. Good. We had some issues there this year, and we doubled it for a while. We had some problems with lack of heat. We had no heat when it first got cold, and it was like 30 degrees in there. Because it is a cinder block building, which that's the problem. When it gets cold, it's cold on the inside. So they took care of it, they didn't do that, so that improved. Then we had some issues with some air quality. We don't even still know what that was about, but it was really, I don't know what the smell was.
Even anymore. I felt it when I...
Right. So, but no, this building itself, and the best thing about it is we close the doors and they lock. They're automatically locked. So that when the employees are instructed, you latch that door every time. I don't care if you're going, because the restrooms are in the other buildings. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're going out, you still lock it. You've got to knock the door back in. Exactly. Because that's our way of having security. It's the only thing we have to protect ourselves out there because we're so isolated. So that is the best feature. The problem is it's limited in size. It's just the two rooms. And right now, with the capacity of the high school, there's nowhere else to put people. So that's the only limitation on it. Oh, yeah.
Also, you mentioned that sometimes parents pick up their kids at 4:30.
Oh, yeah.
Are they not required to?
Of course they are.
But what happens to them if they don't?
Exactly. That was the question I had like 5-6 years when I first got hired, because people were coming at 6:00. I was having to cancel a doctor's appointment because you can't leave the kid. So no. We'd have to sit there, and there was no one had an idea what do we do. So I implemented, like, the only thing I can do, since we don't have any way to make these people be accountable for their children, I implemented things like late pickup. You know, they're supposed to be picked up from 3:30 to 3:45. So I would tell them, okay, anything after 3:45 is late. Between 3:46 and 4, we keep track of them. You get 3 late pickups, we add a day onto your kid's stay. Trying to motivate them to get there. Then I did anything after 4, because hourly employees have to leave. There's no overtime, there's no comp time, they got to fuck out. And obviously, teachers are off duty. But you can't leave one person alone, so 2 people have to volunteer off the clock to stay until people get picked up. So then we said, okay, anything after 4 is automatically a day. We're trying to make it, if we made it punitive, would they be more responsible? That has solved most of the issues, but there are still just some families that just forget.
You know, and I understand, I know you're all very dedicated, you know, and I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
And you're sort of like alone out there, right. Alone in the world, you know. It's hard. It can be very hard.
They do a good job.
Thank you.
They do a very good job.
Ms. Searles.
Where exactly are you? I know you're in the elementary, and I'm very familiar with the building.
You know, the backside of the elementary, the part that's more into the neighborhood, there's like where the Lone Star buildings are, like Margarita's buildings, Project Bravo. Her two hallways were like between those two hallways, but set back from the sidewalk.
Where the old locker is?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, exactly.
You're in the library?
Yes, ma'am. That's our facility.
Okay. And so it looks like you're kind of stuffed in there.
Yes, ma'am.
What's in the rest of the building? Why?
Well, this is, we've talked about this before. Here's the concern. Well, then we go back to the building you knew, which the conditions are horrific over there. But even if the rooms were put together well, they're falling apart. But even if they were put together well, the problem is, if we split into three classrooms, four classrooms, we don't have the staff to cover three or four classrooms. You know, it's DAP. Like when she's teaching, like you saw those three teachers teaching, even if there's three teachers teaching at the same time, not all 30 kids are in those lessons.
Yeah.
She might have six, he might have four, and then there's got to be somebody left to watch the rest. You don't have discipline issues. So that's the problem. With the limited staff we have, we can't do that. It would be ideal, but we can't do it.
Okay.
So we just need a bigger one room, like a gym or something.
Are these kids tested for disabilities?
Some of the kids are already coded. We get sped, we get BIC, and we're getting more than I'm comfortable with.
And, I mean, you're saying they're already coded. Obviously, there's something happening somewhere that's causing it. My mind's eye goes, these kids can't read, and they're mad, and they're acting it out.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with, like, kids who've already been coded. If you've already been coded BIC, you know, you're eating emotionally disturbed. If your placement is not for, you know, there's two different types of offenses by the state of Texas. There's mandatory that by law you have to go to a DEP, drugs, weapons, you know, the big ones. Then the rest are discretionary, persistent misbehavior, the more minor offenses. They don't have to place anybody on those. They can keep with their cannabis, IHS, whatever they want. I'm very uncomfortable when we place kids who are already coded ED for discretionary offenses. That, you know, but.
So is that not a possibility that can kind of cut their attendance if we looked on the other side of the fence that, you know, are teachers sending them kids that really don't belong there?
I do believe that that's one of the things we were, Ms. Lydon and I had talked the last visit there, is we shared the concern that I said I didn't like that particular issue and when she said, she goes, well, this one we have to have, that was a mandatory.
Correct.
I said, well, okay, for the mandatory placements, I get.
Right.
But then I said, let's take a look at the other. And the other thing, too, that I want you to be aware of, we have been, Ms. Lydon, as you can hear, is a very passionate advocate for her program. I said that very nice.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and we've been looking at some of the alternatives that we might be able to have within the district. I know when we were on the walkthrough, we looked at some places that I'm going to look at, but I have to get facilities to look at it before I can say something and before I even say out loud to Ms. Lydon.
I know, you see my eyes, I'm like, wait.
If you say something out loud to Ms. Lydon, she kind of
don't tell her.
Yesterday.
Don't tell her.
So I am looking at a couple of places that we could put her. That would, but I'm going to get the square footage checked in the where I'm looking for.
And then, though, is it a possibility? I mean, I know very little, but what I hear when you come and talk to us, you know, is there a possibility that maybe you have, we have mainstream children who do not belong in the regular classroom to begin with? They should be somewhere else, and the only reason that classroom teacher is, you know, constantly sending them her way. Is because they don't belong in the regular classroom to begin with.
Yes, ma'am. And we're looking.
Okay.
It's systemic.
So, yes, and you
it
are
is, it is systemic, but Ms. Lydon, and one of the things, now that she's, once you raise somebody's level of awareness, which Ms. Lydon's very good about raising level of awareness, then I can go in, and we've been running some reports, and we're looking at the discretionary places. And then we're going to go one step further with the discretionary placements and then look at the special pops in that discretionary placement. Because, now I don't want you to think that there's a plethora of kids, but what we're seeing is more like, we're seeing an increased number if you look at the numbers there. So we need to look at it. And so,
Why are all the kids, why are they fighting? Why are they so mad? I don't get it. It makes no sense to me.
And that's why we need counseling in DAP. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But a social worker.
Social worker.
I can understand that. Okay, thank you, Ms. Chair.
I was also, like, if they have big students in there, or, shouldn't we have somebody from that department helping them out?
Because they know how to deal with those kids, those children.
Well, here's the bigger point here. Interestingly enough, because I was a little concerned we were getting 3-4 big kids at the same time.
They're trained for that.
Correct. But I was more concerned because the high school big number, their total for the entire high school is only 14, and I have 3 or 4 by the same time. I'm like, come on.
And that's what,
you know,
I would.
No, that's what, when Ms. Lai, you know, we don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable.
And you also need to know that Ms. Lai presented at needs assessment. And I have to confess that 2 Martins absolutely gave her the font.
I love the 2 Martins, by the way.
I mean, they just gave her the font. I just said, I was being the tough guy, and so she is getting additional personnel next year.
If approved
by the board. That's right, if approved by the board. So we're going to be coming to you that we're putting in, I think that's the first time, Colleen, that we've...
First time I've ever been invited.
Right, so we've invited her, which I'm wondering the... I wonder if that was a smart thing, but anyway, we'll discuss that later. But we did invite her, and we definitely, I do believe in this program. I believe that it's a necessary program for the district, and we need to make sure that kids are given the services that we promised them.
Ms. Lydon, I wasn't aware of your program. I mean, I knew we had a DAEP, but thank you personally for making me aware.
You guys can stop by anytime. We love visitors.
I really would love it.
The kids love it. Yeah. The kids absolutely will love it.
Do you mind if we just came with that?
I do not mind at all.
Okay.
Because it seems like, and I hope you get more.
They do. They love it.
And you should have seen before.
Oh, yeah, the room was horrific. Mm-hmm. In our first room that I was in, there was no room at all. And that was only with 20-25, but because how small the room was, we were on top of each other. Mm-hmm. But now we have a larger room, which I like, but then the numbers, of course, just keep going up, so it doesn't matter. It's like it's...
Do your children understand that it's a free education? Somebody's giving them a life?
Teenagers.
I understand that.
Yes, they don't...
Thank you.
Totally appreciate it.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. I don't know if things have changed, but used to fall under special ed. Do you still fall under special ed?
At this time, yes, I do.
What is your budget?
She doesn't.
This is the first year I've seen a budget. Just so you know, I was told previously. First year, I was not told I had a budget. I didn't think I did because other people were offering to buy me stuff from the other campuses, so I thought I did not have a budget. But then I found out, I was told it was $5,000 for materials. And we purchase everything because, of course, it's a safety issue for us. We do not want kids bringing backpacks or anything for that matter. So they bring nothing with them. We provide paper, the pencils, the Kleenex, everything you can think of just for security reasons. And obviously, it's the most effective way to run a classroom because it's not because I didn't bring something that I can't get my work done. So $5,000, I thought sounded like a lot because I'm a very cheap girl, by the way. But it's easily spent, especially when you start, you guys hire the 2 teachers, which I totally appreciate, but obviously they're there full time, they need materials now. It's not a hodgepodge, thrown together situation anymore. These are teachers who are teaching to the curriculum and they need the materials to be able to get it done. So this year, when I was able to see the budget, it had different monies that I was not aware of before, but it only had $1,000 for materials, where we used to spend $5,000. So right now I'm waiting for my boss and her secretary to do a budget transfer because we're short of materials. We're running out of notebooks. You know, just things that just are normal in a school day. So they're supposed to be putting in a budget transfer so that we can, because they told me I had $4. That's what they told me last week when I told them, where's my order? I placed an order in January and I was waiting for that. And so I'm hoping, because there was 7,500 what was there at the beginning of the year in technology, which thanks to mainly to Mrs. Brigham and Ms. Vieira, we've really come a long way in the technology department. There's things I still need, but at this point, obviously, I need paper and notebooks more than I need technology, you know, so that we can just have class.
Okay. Also, I don't know if the budget process has started or it's almost, I don't know if it's there or what, but I think, I'm sorry?
It's in process.
Okay. I think you should also set money aside for your teachers,
exactly.
For tutoring. for whatever they need to be.
I absolutely agree.
They need to be compensated.
I agree.
If the money's not there, they need to set that money aside.
These teachers already work 30 minutes longer every day than even if the kids come and go all the time. 7:54 is not the hours of all the other teachers, so they already do that. And then plus all the hours they spend afterwards, yeah, they are definitely giving them the time.
Right. And I know that previously when, I recall, the social worker position was approved. I don't know why it was never hired. Yes, a couple of years ago. So I don't know what happened.
We'll check with that, Ms. Gonzalez. We'll be glad to check on that.
I think it was a couple of years ago. Anyway, that job description might already be there, but it can just be, I don't know if that position was requested or what, but that's...
We'll check into it.
And thank you.
Thank you
for being here.
So thank you. So as Marcia mentioned, I want to bring 38 back. Is this the place to say this or not?
Sure.
Yes, I'm sorry, what was that? We have 38s because we have two classrooms. So there would be an 8 on each side and then the other 8 available to go back and forth. And kids are escorted to the restroom. That's part of the security of the program. For the kids too, mind you, because there's public programs in those other two buildings.
Right.
And at one point, I think there's even one for domestic violence people. Once again, vendor people. So it's not safe for the kids either way. But it's part of our program regardless to escort them one at a time to the restroom just to make sure they don't do anything they shouldn't do. So that was the need of the 3 8s. Well, the problem we're having right now is because we are two teachers, they decided to remove our 3rd 8.
Who's
so there's two, there's, I believe it came from Jeannie Hammond, my boss. So we're just down to the 2 8s. So what's the biggest problem is at lunchtime, obviously the teachers have to take lunch when the kids take lunch because that's the only time there's no academic subject matter being taught. Well, obviously at that point, it leaves me in one room and 8 in the other room, and the third person, which is the 2nd 8, has to take 40 plus kids to the restroom one at a time, all in a 45 minute period alone. We don't have, and so that these teachers can have lunch. Well, obviously it's not gonna happen. We have to go to the next building. It takes 3 minutes. The fast bathroom break is 3 minutes. If you do that times 40 kids, you're talking 2 hours of bathroom breaks. So it's just not feasible to get it done. So Mr. Melchor and Ms. Ballard again offer to stay in on their lunch. They don't necessarily leave to go to lunch so that they can help, even if it comes to taking kids to the restroom themselves. So it's just, they're picking up. I understand it sounded good, and I would have done anything to get two teachers, just so you know. So it sounded good to trade two teachers for an aide, but the reality is these two teachers are now doing aide jobs on top of teaching 7, 8, 9 subjects a day, which is really not right.
Ms. Brady?
Ms. Lydon, did we, at the needs assessment, didn't we approve that, the AEP position?
I think so, but I just thought this would be good to say.
Yes, okay, just so the board knows.
My question. What was
we did approve that.
Yay.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what were you approved?
And did the board not hear a possible recommendation for filling them?
Yes, okay. Yes, you did. And I do believe, Ms. Casco, have we posted for that position?
We posted because we only have 1 8 right now. We have a vacancy in the other one, so it's just 1 8. So that other one's a vacancy, okay. What I want to know is while that one is posted, can I hire the two people on that one posting is what I'd like to know. Fill my 2nd and my 3rd.
No.
All in one shot so that it doesn't...
No, let's hear Ms. Carrasco
first. Basically, what happened last year, was that trade-off. It was like, give up an aide and we get you two teachers. So basically, we've done away with it. Really, she's only got two aide positions in her program at the current moment. At needs assessment, she did request for several things, one of them being that aide to come back. And we're compiling that list to bring before the committee at our next meeting with all the personnel requests that are being proposed for your review and consideration. So at that point in time, we will bring that back for your review.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Next year.
Okay, I'm
happy. Next year.
No one. Okay. Any other questions?
Wanted to ask for the record. I did look up her accounts. She did receive $13,000 in her budget, but it is handled through Ms. Hammocks.
And the rest is under. See, I saw money under there that was supposed to be for subs, and we were like negative $3,000 because of somebody
they were being
charged to the wrong account. So we haven't had subs for in-service. It said, and we haven't gotten any in-services because there was only $300 for in-services.
Yeah, but they get reclassified or something.
Yeah, we're working with. sped so that they can give us a correct account number to charge their
fee. And I do have a reallocate of where DAAP should be placed next year.
Okay.
And I'd like to be placed somewhere next year somewhere, but I would also like to have some input into the budget.
Yeah. Of course, Ms. Light.
Okay, this is just a wish list, okay?
Yeah, lots of wishes.
Okay, there's no action on this agenda item?
Good.
But thank you, Ms.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. Thank you, Mr. Melchor and Ms. Beller. Thank you.
We appreciate you guys.
Next agenda item, please.
Item 3, grants review, Ms. Sliga.
Good evening, members of the committee. In front of you have some information related to a particular grant that I'm working with some of the principals with. It's related to building community learning centers at the different campuses. I believe this was, we had this type of grant some years ago, maybe 5 or so years ago. And three other principals started out interested in it. Right now, I'm working directly with just two of them right now, and that's at Bill Childress and Damian. And I did want to point out that basically it would require us to hire a project director for this grant, which would be funded through this. And it would require also a site coordinator at each of the campuses, at each of the sites. And also a family engagement specialist, and that one could be either full-time or part-time.
Could that be a social worker?
If we could also hire a social worker as well. But
this is only for this school.
But for this particular grant, it has to be for the purposes of this particular grant. But basically, if there's referrals from DAAP, they could certainly, a social worker could certainly work for
those two schools only? For those two schools only?
However, there's only two schools, and they're elementary, but I believe this program is through high school only. So, yes, this is for elementary. I sent that information to all nine campuses, all nine principals, but I believe I just learned that I guess Ms. Parker's is working through the Boys and Girls Club, is that right? I guess the Boys and Girls Club is submitting an application, mm-hmm. and they're working
the
with
Central
yes. Elementary with that. But aside from that, two of the other principals are interested in going through with this particular one. And it's basically providing tutoring services and enrichment services, which could include art, music, dance, recreation programs, and the family engagement, which could also be adult literacy. Right now, based on the preliminary budget that I've been working with the two principals, it could be about $400,000 to $500,000 in just this 1 year alone. And if awarded, it could potentially be awarded for 3 years. And then we would have to reapply for the fourth and fifth year. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are the two, I'm sorry.
Yes.
What are the two campuses?
Bill Childress and Damian.
Could others, just no one else responded?
Well, I did meet with, all the elementary school principals other than Ms. Parker, since I know she's working with the Boys and Girls Club, but I met with all the four principals, and after going through the guidelines, letting them know the different requirements, because the centers do require a minimum of 12 hours a week, a minimum of 35 weeks a year, a minimum of 4 weeks during the summer. So there's different requirements related to the grant itself, as far as programmatic, as far as data collection, and so forth. There will be technical assistance provided through the state, since this one is in its eighth year, its eighth cycle year, and I believe it's like it cycles 3 to 5 years. So there is technical assistance, and there's resources, there's lesson plans, there's worksheets, there's a lot of help that can be provided to implement this program. Yes.
Okay. First of all, I would love for it to get funded. And if and when we get funded, I would like to make sure that these employees, we don't want to get stuck with those employees like we have done in the past, with that we inherit those?
We do have to include a plan for sustainability as well. That might not necessarily be extra funding, but it could be that we maintain a certain level of services as far as for tutoring and so forth. But we do have to include a plan for sustainability as far as how we're going to enrich the program.
However, the positions, when we post for these positions, the intent will be that the
grant funded.
It'll be, say, grant funded position only through the duration of the grant period.
Okay.
You know, because at that point when the grant ends, the district may choose to hold on to the positions, or they may choose to relieve them with no penalties to the district, of course.
Okay. And who's going to write these grants?
I'm working on it with the principals.
Okay. When is this due, Ms. Oye?
This one is due in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Oh, are you almost done with them?
As far as the legwork and a lot of the preliminary information, as far as making sure that we meet all the specifications, setting up budgets, that is pretty much done. But if I have to work through spring break, it'll be done.
I like it that we don't have to put any matching funds in there.
Right.
That's what I like. Okay. Any questions? No?
Just a comment. That's exciting, Sumi Guy. I hope go out there and get it.
Yes, the principals are very excited, especially Ms. Moreno. She felt like she had a responsibility to provide this to that community since that was initially part of her needs assessment. They're really excited.
Okay. I guess, do we need to take any action?
Just at the board meeting, you'll...
So we'll just make a recommendation to the full board. Okay, ready to go then. Next agenda item. Thank you.
Item 4, MOU Boys and Girls Club, and Ms. Brigham.
Ms. Packer, do you want to come forward, please?
Yes. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, how are you all doing? Good. Well, I'm here to ask you all to see if you would support, once again, the Boys and Girls Club. Last year, we initiated the Boys and Girls Club. They came to Garofalo Elementary, and the way we decided to do this, the funding, it cost nothing to the school district. I was able to approach Expert Middle, Penny Sexton, and she supported the program with $16,000. And so we were able to hire 5 employees. Boys and Girls Club screened them, hired them, and they went through the payroll and they went through everything, their training, so Boys and Girls Club. The only thing that our school needed to do was just providing the children the facilities. Obviously, because tutoring takes place after school, the program is from 3 to 6 o'clock, mm-hmm. Monday through Thursday. And what we do is we have 3 different rotations. We have the homework section, we have the recreational section, and then we have also the STEM program, which is encourages the sciences, the math, the engineering, and the technology. We serviced last year 300 children, grades 3rd through 5th grade. But we saw that it was such a success and our little ones wanted to participate. So what we did is we started this school year in August to December. That's when the grant finished and we only had about less than $7,000 to operate. So the first semester we were able to fund it, but come December we were in a dilemma because we only had about $3,000 to finish off the school year. So I was deciding how am I going to fund this program because it's such a worthy program. So one of the Boys and Girls Club alumni, I worked really close with them, approached me and we said, Mrs. Parker, how about we approach another business partner since Exeter Middle had told us that they weren't going to be able to fund this again because they funded us the first year. So we contacted Freeport, which is Phillips. And we met with a gentleman in December, and he agreed to hear us out and to see if we were a worthy program. Well, after a session with him, we convinced him that Garofalo Elementary was a win-win situation because not only were we going to educate the future, we're also going to eventually educate one of their employees, especially because they're concentrating on the math and the sciences. So they agreed to fund us $10,000. Once again, so we'll be able to fund it for a whole year, plus the Alumni Association threw in another $3,000, so we have $13,000 dollars to get us through another school year. And this time we're opening it up all the way up to first graders. So we're going to have first, second, third, fourth, and fifth grade students. Plus, what we did last year is because a lot of our children that when we started off the program transitioned to unlimited, then they became sixth graders. So we invited those children that are in unlimited to join us. So next year there'll be seventh graders plus our sixth graders. So not only are we servicing just elementary children, but we're also servicing middle school children, and that's our intention to do it. So what I'm asking the board is, would you consider having the Boys and Girls Club once again in our campus? And the wonderful thing about this is that 2 weeks ago I met with a gentleman with the person that runs the local Boys and Girls Club, and he informed me that they hired last year a grant writer. And this grant writer is going to write a grant for five different schools in the area, not just Canopy Elementary. Canopy Elementary will be from Canopy ISD. We also have Horizon, and I believe Clint, and two other elementary, I'm sorry?
Anthony.
And this grant will sustain us for 5 years without me having to go and recruit another business partner. Plus, we will have an internal coordinator that will coordinate everything for our school. So there'll be five different coordinators. So this program will be worthy because we will have it for 5 years if the grant goes through without no cost to the district. And we foresee that because we have been highlighted a lot as far as the Boys and Girls Club are looking for new ways to expand. In other words, before they used to have their own facilities, now they're trying to come into the schools and recruit within and stay within the community and the school district. So it's actually benefiting not only the Boys and Girls Club, but also the school district, and it's benefiting us because our children no longer go home with no parents. They have, for those that don't have an older brother, sister, or parents who help them their homework, they're actually doing their homework. They're getting a snack, they're getting some recreational, plus we're providing our science labs and our computer labs, and they're learning engineering, they're learning math, they're learning science, and they're learning and technology. We've had reading nights for parents in the evenings. We've had science nights for the parents, and we've had also recreational or taekwondo. And so we've done a lot. Not only is it benefiting the children, but it's also benefiting our community. So we're asking to y'all if you would consider letting us another school year, and then hopefully by then it will be self-sufficient because it will be funded through the Boys and Girls Club with this grant that will be 5 years, and we will be a model school for future nationwide.
And Ms. Searles, you'd be happy to know this is the 21st century grant.
I circled that right
okay.
there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what we're asking for the for this committee is for your recommendation to if this is, they're going to write it in to their grant, Kent Elementary School. So again, Ms. Gonzalez and committee members, that, you know, this will be the entity that will be supervising this will be the Boys Club and Girls Club of El Paso, and the beneficiary is County Elementary School. So what we're asking is, this will be an MOU, just like you're going to do with Ms. Zuniga, that you're going to have, you know, that you'll sign with the Boys Club and Girls Club, that you're absolutely going to look at this, okay? But it's no commitment to the district.
No, I'm on the
district. So I just want to make sure you do that, because it's this 21st century skills grant. That you brought, one of the grants that you had brought back, mm-hmm. New in Washington, Mass.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Any questions? Any questions? No? Okay, it's a go.
Yay! Thank you.
Recommendation to the full board. Next agenda item, please.
Item 5, MOU Head Start, Ms. Fiedo.
Currently in the warehouse, we have materials that we use for our pre-K teachers in our pre-K classrooms. And we've had this collaboration before, but this is the first year that that they created an MOU. So basically, we're just asking for your approval on the MOU for these materials that we're working with Region 19 Head Start, as well as based on the Texas Ready Grant.
Any questions?
with the Children's Learning Institute, who is contributing these materials for the pre-K classroom.
Ms. Earls?
Can we have Region 19 get rid of those? Any talk about those portables?
The portables?
With Region 19 and getting, since they don't have Head Start?
They're between kind of the elementary and
the AMS.
AMS.
You want to get rid of the portables? Okay.
They're theirs. They said they would move them out. They've been there over an extended amount of time.
Okay.
We've given them several opportunities.
Oh, yeah. And I, you know, I believed, and I think they're supposed to be, they were supposed to be out there.
A year ago.
No, but I do remember something with Dr. Enriquez, you know, Blanca Enriquez, and for something, but I have to check. But I think the time has elapsed already, too. I think it might have been December. Do you know, January, so.
Plus, they said that they would give us that little
the canopy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think if they don't come and get them, we ought to just sell them.
Ms. Fierro, how many kids do we get from the Head Start program? They have a beautiful facility.
Yeah. Well, we have 16 that, well, she left, but 16 that attend the Head Start from CES. And we want from GPE. So we really want to promote more of the children going to the other camps as well. Increase that collaboration. I was talking to Martha Lynn about that earlier today. So one of the things that we had talked about at the beginning when we started the collaboration was that we wanted our students to go for the extended day, but we wanted to be careful about students coming because then we would have to increase the FTEs. And so we want to increase our students going. They're currently going eligible.
How many kids, or do we keep track of them, that come into a kindergarten program from the pre-K? That's my question. Come from pre-K Head Start. Do we know? Do we track them? Do they come in better prepared?
Oh,
I can get that number for you.
Than a kid that.
Very good question. I mean, I know exactly, you know, as a principal, I knew.
Because I see the buses in our neighborhoods, the Region 19 bus that's picking up these babies. And I just want to know if they're following through and coming to our school.
They do come to us as far as, a matter of fact, what we did do is that we would coordinate for the pre-K as a four-year-old to go, but then we would also have them make sure, because I know when I was a principal at BCE that they could have kept him there, and I said, no, I want them with me, and so we did do that at that time, and that we continue to do that. So I think that's a very good question, Ms. Mendoza, that we need to follow up on as far as how many we get and the preparation that the kids.
Because I'm sure if they go to the Head Start program for the four-year-old and then the, what is it, they even take them as babies?
They absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do. They don't want to release them.
They don't want to release them until.
Is this, the MOU, is it only for the four-year-olds?
Three and
4 years old, okay. All right. So they're taking them for the three-year-olds before, and the four-year-olds, right now, we did through needs assessment, where we're holding our own as far as not, that we haven't been able to, that we haven't hired as many pre-K FTEs. So right now I might would say it's mutually beneficial, but I do think we could follow up on that, Ms. Mendoza, a little bit more finite to come up with a little bit better number.
You know what? I remember when I was asked to do some recruiting and I would make some calls, and I was told that I apparently there were some studies out there that students coming from Head Start were not as prepared going into kinder as those that were in elementary school, in kinder, in pre-K.
Well, I know, I don't know, I'd have to check.
Pre-K Head Start versus pre-K elementary, I guess, public elementary.
Well, one thing I think with the Head Start, and I don't know, I would have to look at that, but I do know the curriculum that they use at Head Start is the same curriculum that we use. It's
it's
the same. So I can say that.
Good.
I can say that.
Because I don't think
it
was in.
I wouldn't have been able to said that 5 years ago.
Okay, that was it.
But they do use that now. That is a state, so
good.
They do use that.
Good.
So.
I'm happy to hear that then.
Okay.
And the materials that they're providing also just help those teachers with the management system.
Okay. Rachel.
And I've had an experience with this because one of my children attended Head Start because of speech, and then he went on to pre-kinder at the public school. He ended up reading way before his siblings did. He just seemed to catch on to reading a lot easier for some reason. I don't know if it's because of that, but I did see a difference.
Okay, that's good to hear that.
When they work with the letter recognition, they get the socialization, it's very structured, and the teachers are getting two days worth of training, but they go on 2-hour intervals 8 times during the year, the target one teachers, the target two teachers, based on experience. So it's not only the materials that we're getting, but it's just the professional development that we get based around the CIRCLE curriculum. Mm-hmm. And the CPALS test that is also administered to them, we can track them. But I will get those numbers, and I'll actually look at the students that we have currently and start comparing those assessments that we're giving them. And certainly we give the ICID through iStation those assessments, and we can compare how those students even did at the beginning of the year, that coming in compared to the students
attend. It's a good question.
Just think it would be interesting to see.
It is. It's a good one. We can go back and look at the beginning of the year assessment for those kindergartens that attended, started, and kindergartens that didn't, and you can compare their progress now. Okay. With the CIRCLE curriculum and the structure that they have, I can't see how it wouldn't benefit.
Any more questions? Okay. Recommendation to the full board. Thank you.
Thank you,
Ms. Next agenda item.
Item 6, Northwest Early College High School report, Ms. Sabina.
Like this for you last year, and we're very excited to be able to bring to you information about what the students are up to, and now we have even better information because we've had our first graduation, and so we can give you information about our first graduating class and let you know about what they're up to, how they did, credits they earned, and so on and so forth. And so we hope that you will be able to find this presentation valuable. Of course, I didn't come by myself. I came with my team because this is just how we do things at the Early College. And so I'd like for them to just take a second to introduce themselves.
Robert Aguilar, Northwest Early College High School Liaison.
Jaime Mercado, Counselor.
Carlos Ramirez, Dean of Students.
We're going to take turns going through the presentation so that you can hear a little bit from all of us. I'm going to start off really just talking to you and reminding you about what you already know, and that's the philosophy and the culture of our school. As an early college, we take great pride in knowing that our philosophy is very simple. College first. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to prepare our students to be able to work in a college environment. And I don't want to say prepare to be college ready, because when the students come to us, they come from middle school and they come to a college environment. Of course, we have to be able to put in the support systems that are necessary to be able to take them from one level to another. But when the students come here, our way of thinking, the way that we operate, the decisions that we make are always guided by this philosophy. College first. The treatment that we give to them, the advising that we do with them, the way that we guide them through their graduation requirements for high school, for the associates, the way that we advise them in terms of their majors, in terms of their strengths, their weaknesses, everything is driven by that philosophy, college first. And so those are the things that we as administrators, as faculty, as a staff are constantly reminded of so that we can continue to operate under that simple stance. But really, it creates that culture of it feeling like a college. Our mission statement is also very simple, and it's hard to do, but our mission statement, very simple, to graduate the students with their high school diploma, and we want to reach the DAP, the Distinguished Achievement Plan Diploma, which is the highest one, and the associate's degree. That is our mission statement. That is what we're out to do. Of course, beyond that, what we want to do is make sure that we can say the students that are leaving early college are ready to continue their education towards a bachelor's degree as juniors at the university. And so we take our job very seriously. We want to make sure that while the students are under our tutelage, under our care, that we are doing that, that we are really preparing them to be able to transition successfully. And so we're going to give you some evidence about what things we've been up to and what we've done to be able to meet our mission statement and also to how it is that we are moving forward with our philosophy. Now, along with saying that we are college first, that is our philosophy, the other thing that we are very interested in doing is providing that rigorous teaching, that rigorous learning environment. And so in order to do that, we need to be able to have the right faculty in place to be able to take our students and really prepare them to be able to go on to the next level. And so this is really the mission statement right there. This is what we're out to do, all of us. Northwest Early College High School will promote a highly rigorous academic environment to ensure that students earn the Distinguished Achievement Plan Diploma and the Associate of Arts or Science degree from El Paso Community College and enroll in a four-year university to pursue a bachelor's degree. So how are the students doing? Let's look at the graduates that we had, the first graduation, the class of 2012. In looking at our mission statements, and of course the first thing that we're looking at there is we're asking for them to meet that associate's requirement. That class graduated 60% of the students with the associate's degree, 60% of the class. And so we should be very proud of that. Am I happy? No. I want 100%. That's what we're after. But 60% is still a really high number. When you look at what our high schools, our traditional high schools across the nation, or even in Texas, what they're doing, it doesn't even come close to having 60 plus college credit hours to having that associate's degree under their belt. So 60% of our students in Carutillo were able to achieve that feat. And so you might ask, well, what happened to the other 40%? You know, what did they do? How did they fare? Okay. Well, three of our students in that graduating class, three students, were not able to take any college credit classes. And this was because they did not complete what is called the Texas Success Initiative. They were not TSI ready, college ready. And so they either did not pass the AccuPlacer or their tax score was not high enough for them to be able to take classes at the college. However, these students, after high school graduation, enrolled in developmental classes at El Paso Community College and continue to be enrolled at El Paso Community College. So even though at the time that they were with us, they were not able to achieve that TSI requirement, they were ingrained in that college feeling, and they knew the system well enough that they feel comfortable taking the next step, enrolling, and continuing forward. So that's three students, okay? 5.4% of the students earned a minimum of 4 college credit hours, 5.4. Those students came late into that TSI requirement, but as soon as they were able to meet it, we enrolled them in their college classes. And so the most impressive part is that the rest of the percentage, 33%, they were able to earn less than the 60 hours, but they were well above the 45 college credit hours. So we were very happy that that large percentage, the 60% and the 33%, were able to meet that feat. And we had the few pockets of students that we still needed to do some work for, but certainly they had the benefit of this experience as well. Now, something that I wanted to share with you that I learned recently. UTEP put out a study, and in that study, what it was saying is that if you look at the students that are graduating from high school in the top 50% of their class, if they have attempted any college credit, any dual credit classes, those students in that top 50% of their high school graduating class are twice as likely to complete their bachelor's degree. And what the study is also saying is that the students in the bottom 50%, if they took any college credit classes, their chances quadruple. And so they are that much more likely to be able to get that bachelor's degree. And isn't that what we are trying to help our students achieve? Now, the second part of our mission statement asks you to consider that we are also working towards the DAP, the Distinguished Achievement Plan Diploma. And I don't know the number for the high school, but I know our number. And we came in at 71%. 71% of our graduates achieved the DAP. And I think that we should be very, very happy about that. The 28% also graduated under the recommended high school plan. And we had one student that has not been able to complete her science tax. She has completed all of her coursework, but she continues to be attempting that science tax. And so for that reason, she was not able to walk across the stage and receive her high school diploma, even though all of her coursework is done. But 71% of graduates and 28% recommended high school. 100% of this class of 2012 completed the college admissions application, which is very important. We need to be able to hand over the students, whether it be to UTEP, NMSU, or wherever it is that they're going. And so we had 100% of our students complete their college admissions application. Okay. So that's the class of 2012. And those were the, great accolades that they were able to bring to our district. I wanted to move forward now and talk to you a little bit about what our school program is looking like so that you have a good understanding and you can also see some of the things that are new within our program. And these things, I think, are going to speak to what I started with before, and that's the college-first environment and also the rigorous teaching and learning. Our faculty is comprised of 18 faculty members, and 90% of our faculty either has a master's to a doctorate degree. The other 10% are working on getting that master's degree because that is contingent upon continued employment. So we know that they have an end date, they have pressing deadline where they know that they need to meet, bring us proof of that master's degree. Last year we were operating under a 10-period day, but at needs assessment, we requested that we operate under an 8-period day, and so that is what we are doing now. And so this allows our classes to be a little bit more robust in terms of time, and we're able to give our students the time within their courses that they need. Our foundation curriculum and our enrichment curriculum, of course, we're running both. We need to be able to do that in order to meet our high school graduation requirements. And our dual credit offerings are listed for you there. We have several college courses in math, 4 in English, 2 in history, two in biology, and that is a brand new course, college course for us, two in chemistry, one in education, one in BCIS, which is brand new, and the Spanish is also a continued course. So these are all of the course offerings that we have on site. In addition to those course offerings, and those speak to both the foundation curriculum and the enrichment curriculum, we also have full access to any college course that the student might need at El Paso Community College. And so our job, of course, is to make sure that we're blending the schedules, high school requirements, associate's requirements, and always keeping the student on target. Now, in the enrichment curriculum, I wanted to just let you know that there's a few things that we added to make sure that our students are able to fulfill the elective portion of their high school requirements or their CTE, their technology apps. And so we've added a brand new class called the Digital Interactive Media class, and here students have the opportunity to really produce a broadcast. And we've been very lucky to have the support of the CTE department and really infuse our campus with lots of really terrific equipment. And so I'm not going to show you the equipment, but at the end of the presentation, I'm going to show you just one of the broadcasts that the students have produced so that you can see, you know, what it is, how it is that we're utilizing our resources and how we're putting those resources in the hands of the students. We had Stephanie Valle come from, I think she's News Channel 9. And she gave the students a presentation. She was completely impressed by all of the technology that is in that room. And you know, the teachers are working hard to make sure that there is full implementation, and it's all to benefit our students. So we'll let you know how that's working out for us. We've also incorporated piano and guitar into our fine arts program, and we've been happy to be able to also provide the necessary instruments to be able to offer these classes. History through film is a brand new elective class, academic decathlon, and health, where before that class was a computer-based program, it's now a face-to-face program. So those are some changes that have taken place at our campus and that are benefiting our students. This slide might be a little bit difficult for you to see from where you're sitting. But here, what I wanted to do, we just had the plan results out, and I wanted to show this slide to you, really just to speak to you in terms of evidence of rigor and what we're doing. The plan is the exam that prepares students for the ACT, and this is a test that is given to 10th graders, and our 10th graders recently took that exam. And so what this slide is showing you is a comparison between our Canutillo High School students, Early College students, and nationally students all across America who have taken this test. And our Early College students, you know, are demonstrating that evidence of rigor. I'll just read you the numbers. In English, when they took that exam, they came in at 85%. Our high school came in at 42%, and I want to say that those black numbers are the national average, but I've been advised not to. Anyway, it's at 66, so we're well above, if that is in fact what it is. In our math, we came in at 43. Our high school came in at 16, and I think our national average is either 36 or 39, right in there. In reading, we did not meet the national average. As I'm looking at it, we came in at 46. Our high school came in at 21, and I think the marker was at 50. And then in science, we came in at 44, our high school at 9, and I believe the average was at 22. So Mr. Fintel made this information available to us. I'm sure that, you know, we can make it available to you if this is something that you would like to look at. But certainly some good news for us. We were very glad for what our students are demonstrating on nationally ranked exams. Now, when we go out and do presentations in our community, of course I emphasize the academics. I always emphasize the academics because that is our mission, okay? But I also let everyone know, not only are we working to develop the student academically, but we also need to make sure that we develop the leader in the student. And so these are the organizations, the student organizations that we currently have in place. There are lots and lots of different things, as you can see up on the slide, that our students are able to participate in. And one of the things that I just wanted to highlight for you is that our Science Bowl participated recently. I think it was the end of January, and they won the regional competition for the city. They beat out all the other early colleges. Anyway, they beat out, they came in first place. And so now those students are going off to Washington, D.C. This Science Bowl is actually a big deal. It is sponsored through the Department of Energy, and there's lots of different scholarship opportunities for the winners. So they'll be off in D.C. during the week of April, and it's something that we are very, very proud of. Okay? Just this weekend, we competed at the university at UTEP in something called a Texas Citizen Bee, mm-hmm. which is like a spelling bee, but all about citizen. Nuri. And we took the first, the second, and the third place. And so the first place winner will be going to represent the city at the state. And so we hope that, you know, we're able to bring back good news to you. Okay. But there's lots of different opportunities. There's lots of different things that our students can do. Of course, you know that BPA, our Business Professionals of America, was something brand new, a brand new charter this year. And we had 12 students who competed, and of those 12, we had 8 who were state qualifiers, and so those state qualifiers went out to Houston recently. They competed. We didn't have any national place winners, but certainly, you know, for their first time out, of the 12, they had 8 students that placed and qualified for nationals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're very happy for all of their accomplishments and certainly for all of the support that they're giving us. All right, I get to be quiet now. All right. So how does it work? And how do we, you know, how do we keep it aligned? And how do we keep our eye on the marker? What are the things that we're doing in order to make sure that we're meeting our mission statement, sort of the nitty-gritty? So I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Ramirez so that he can share a little bit more about that. Oh, can you see it?
Okay, basically, well, it's very difficult to see right there. But basically what you have is an audit sheet. It's a pathway to graduation. And so that every student knows exactly where they are from semester to semester, what track are they on, not only for the high school level, but for the college level. So if that was a little bit more clear, you could see the high school audit sheet on the left, the college audit sheet on the right. And so what Ms. Sabina was talking about, every student is tracked to go into the DAP program. We strive for everybody to succeed in the DAP program, the Distinguished Achievement Program, meaning 26 credits. Besides having all 4 credits in each one of the core areas, English, Math, History, and Science, some additional credits with advanced measures, those 4 advanced measures that they need. And for Northwest, the majority is going to be for college credits if they get their 4 advanced measures. So they have this audit sheet for their high school, getting their 26 credits, and then they have their audit sheet for college, which requires 60 hours for their associate's degree. Now, within those 60 hours, Ms. Sabina provided you a list of all the dual credit courses that are offered at Northwest. Conceivably, a student could take 50% of his college courses on campus as dual credit courses. So we're moving along those lines. The other half, they'll take at the college. What's very important initially as the students come in to Northwest is to indicate what their major is going to be, their field of study. Because once they indicate what their field of study is going to be, that means we can target those hours for them to get to enforce their area, their associates. They have to have about 45 hours of the core area, and then another 15 hours for their field of study. And those 15 hours, we ask the students, look at your major, let's find out what you're interested in, and let's find some courses that you can take to fulfill that field of study, so that when you go to the university, you've already got some of the prerequisites, and you're well on your way to achieving or going into your junior year at UTEP or whatever university you're gonna be going into. Let me just give you a small example of what We've talked about students graduating after 3 years with their associates and going on to UTEP. Let me just give you an example of what students are able to get through their freshman year. As they come in their freshman year, the qualifying students that make a qualifying score in their accurate place of reading, they're able to take at least 7 hours during their fall semester. That's a 3-hour course in education, 1300, and a 4-hour course in biology, 1406. The spring semester, they continue with the second part of their biology requirement, which is 1407, and in addition to that, they take one of their newest dual credit courses, which is our BCIS. In addition to that, in the spring, those students that qualify under the accurate place of writing test will take a speech class. So that's an additional 3 hours. So fall, you got 7. Spring, you have 7 to 10 hours. And then in the summer, they take an additional course, 3 hours. So by the end of the freshman year, they can have anywhere between 17 and 20 hours college hours, if they take advantage of it. So it's very conceivable that they can have their associate's degree at the end of 3 years and pursue their bachelor's at UTEP. Thank you.
Okay, I am very pleased and honored to report to you. And first of all, I make no excuses. But remember that the class of 2012 only had a counselor for 2 years. Their last 2 years, okay, so no excuses. Yet, out of the 94, okay, I have confirmation that right now, 27 of our 2012 graduates are attending UTEP. Okay, 27. 26 are presently enrolled at NMSU. 21 are at El Paso Community College. 2 are at St. Mary's University in San Antonio. 1 is North Texas University. 1 is at UT Dallas. 1 is at Texas State University. And 1 is at the University of Arizona. Okay? I'm sure that you heard, but let me reaffirm it. Last year's class brought in $2,767,000 in scholarships. Okay? So we make no more excuses. This year's class would have had a counselor for 3 years, so I can't make any more excuses. Okay? Presently, okay, we started with 75 seniors. We already have 11 students with from 0 to 12 college hours. We have 10 with 13 to 40. We have 29 with 42 to 60. And we already have 17 that have obtained their associate and are attending UTEP. Okay? So, like I said, it is fantastic. I'm thrilled to be part of this. Okay? So far, this class, I have had the opportunity. We took them to go visit Western New Mexico University, New Mexico State University, and UTEP. Okay? Twice. Okay? We have been able to offer college prep programs for these seniors. We offer a program, okay, it was a 3-session, 30 minutes each. We invited the parents and the seniors to attend. They had to attend 3 presentations after school from 5 to 5:30 to 6. The first one was, what is FAFSA? Okay, what do I need to complete my FAFSA? Okay, the other one, where is the money? Okay, what other money is available? What do I need to do? And then, at the third presentation, additional money available to seniors. The following week, we offer a free income tax service for the parents so they could have their income tax ready to complete the FAFSA should we have a completion of FAFSA presentation. And of course, we continue to do parent conferences on a one-to-one for the seniors. Okay, so this, okay, I just was lucky enough, I had one of the presentations this afternoon, the parents were delighted, okay, at the beginning, like I told them, I tell them this presentation, this conference is about you, the student, okay, so I want you to take notes, and the reason that I invited your parents is because I want to know if they support your dream, Okay? After I continued with the presentation and everything, the parents were delighted. They had no idea what the conference was all about, because I discussed the high school credits, the college hours that they need for their associate, and what they need to be ready for the senior year. Right now, we have about over 85% of all seniors having taken the SAT and the SAT, and the rest are signing up for the June test session. Okay, so that's the class of 2013. As far as the class of 2014, which we started with 65 students, presently 16 students have from 0 to 12 hours, 29 students have from 13 to 40, and 16 students have from 41 to 60 hours. So I am delighted, like Ms. Sabina said, to be part of this team. Okay? It is working together. There's nothing that we don't bring to the table that Ms. Sabina doesn't support it. Okay? Or that she initiates. Okay? But it's an awesome experience being in Northwest. Thank you very much.
Now, one thing that he didn't talk to you about is the sophomore conferences and the freshman conferences, because we start with those groups as well. They don't get the benefit of the one-to-one conference yet, but what we try to do is give general information about graduation requirements, understanding the associates, and so we bring in what we did for our freshman parents. We called them, scheduled them one by one, and brought them in small groups and gave them all of this information so that they can have this understanding. As sophomores, we did the same thing. We talked about high school graduation requirements, the associate's degree course offerings, what do they take presently, what are they going to be registering for, testing. Attendance laws, testing, you name it, we covered it. And so we're bringing in our freshman group, parents and students in small groups, sophomore small groups, and then when it's junior year, individual conferences, senior year, individual conferences. And so that's how we are taking care of our graduation plans for all of our students.
With plenty of time to ask questions, right?
Of course.
Well, I'm going to pass it over now to Mr. Aguilar, and I want him to talk a little bit about the college readiness and the Texas Success Initiative.
Good job. Gotcha. You project.
First and foremost, on behalf of El Paso Community College District, Dr. William Serrata, Dr. Lydia Tena, and myself, we want to assure Canutillo Independent School District that you have our full support. From the district to the president to myself, you have our full support to the program, and there is almost nothing that we won't do to continue helping our students, because they're not your students and they're not our students, they're our students. I also want to extend to the board that it is a beautiful sight when we all get together on our graduation banquets and celebrate the graduations. And so we're already planning May's, and everyone has a seat there, so it's beautiful to see two hardworking boards come together. I'm going to talk about AccuPlacer scores, and there's three parts to the AccuPlacer: the reading, the writing, and the math. And I'm going to mention some numbers by class in regards to how many students have not passed the reading. I'm going to focus on the reading, and if you would love details on the writing and the math, we can obviously get that for you. But I'm going to start with the class of 2013, our graduating class here in May. We have 5 out of 72. Now, as we go mentioning these numbers, I want to assure you that these students have a lot of intervention, plenty of ample opportunities to take the AccuPlacer during the semester. In reality, it's almost every Friday. Every Friday has been almost designated every Friday for AccuPlacer, except Friday of spring break, because, you know, nobody wants to take an AccuPlacer. But testing is going on Fridays. Now, if there's an individual case that we need to really work on someone in particular, we'll do it on Monday, we'll do it on Tuesday, whatever we need to get that group or student going. But every Friday we're testing. So there's ample opportunity, there's ample intervention, assistance on the side of Canutillo Independent School District, and also on the side of El Paso Community College. Class of 2013, 5 have not passed the reading out of 72. Class of 2014, 7 out of 72. Class of 2015, our sophomores, 9 out of 59. And class of 2016, 9 of 68. Now, no one hurts more than I do when these students do not pass the acting place. Because I see their initial reaction when they don't pass it, and literally, it hurts me. It really hurts me. Sometimes, I don't even want to give them the score because I don't want to ruin their day. But because it's we test them on Friday, it's an anxiety to wait till Monday for them. And then also their parents know, I'm testing today, good luck, you know, good job. So no one hurts more than to see their initial reaction. But that's the reason why all these interventions are going on. So I am very happy and pleased to predict that, you know, we're going to continue working for the 2013, but there's no reason why we can't get the class of 2014 to pass 100% the reading, the class of 2015 to pass the reading 100%, and the class of 2016 also to pass 100%. And what a mile marker, what a benchmark when the administrative team sits here and tells you as a board that 100% of the class of 2016 got their associate's degree. That would be beautiful, that will be, because this is a great team. So congratulations to you. And anything we can do on our behalf, please let us know.
Thank you, Mr. Leo. Now let me focus your attention a little bit on the recruitment, because I'm sure that you're interested to find out how is it that we're doing with our recruiting class for the class of 2017. And I'm going to start off by letting you know the different things that we are doing in order to be able to reach the parents, to reach our community, to reach the students, and to really put the word out there that the early college is a viable choice for the students in our district. We started off, we had a kickoff back in, I think it was October, and we had a breakfast with the administrators and the middle school counselors, and so this gave us an opportunity to bring them in and talk to them about accomplishments, talk to them about expectations, and really set the tone, have some of our students talk to them, give them a tour of the campus, and really let them know what it is that our applications were looking for, and to put those applications into their hands so that they could leave not only with that application, but leave with the correct information and new data. So this is how we started off the school year in October with a breakfast for admin and the middle school counselors. We've been active participants in the parent-teacher conferences at the middle school level, and we've also participated even at the elementary school level. I don't think there's any reason why the students, the parents, shouldn't be seeing our logo, and even just hearing early college in the back of their mind as a option for years to come. So we've been participants at both middle school and elementary level. The students have come with us. So current early college students are also participating at the parent-teacher conferences and giving their testimony and helping to recruit younger generations. We've done presentations at the middle schools, at both of them, for the entire eighth grade class. So over a period of a week, we've gone out there several times during the day and we've talked to every single eighth grader in small groups just to make sure that everybody has a shot, that everybody hears the information, and that, you know, we are equitable across the board, and we've given all of the students that information. In addition to that, we've done presentations for parents at the middle schools. We've done English presentations, English only, and we've done Spanish only presentations. I personally feel that sometimes when we're giving these presentations, we tend to forget our Spanish speakers in the group, and so we might do the presentation in English and then quickly translate into Spanish, and I did not want to cheat them. So we split up our group, and you know, Mr. Miguel and I did the presentations in Spanish, Mr. Ramirez did the presentations in English, and that is our attempt to help our community learn that this is an option for their sons and daughters. In addition to that, we did presentations for the middle school teachers. And so through PLCs, we went out there to the middle schools, we coordinated with them, and we delivered information, true information, because there are so many misconceptions out there. And so we needed to make sure, I really needed to make sure, that they were hearing it from us firsthand. And so we went out there, those were very positive meetings, and the teachers, when we walked away, we put a letter of acknowledgement into their hands, written by the former generation of students who had written a letter of recommendation for them. And so the students really were just talking about what they had done, what, you know, what they were up to, the benefits as they see it. And so it was something that was very touching for our middle school teachers. In addition to that, we've also done presentations at the elementary schools for the parents. And we've also participated at Benoteo High School when they brought the eighth graders to the school. I just don't want to be forgotten. And so we, you know, we make sure that we have our displays out there and that we are continuing to keep our students motivated and excited so that, you know, they don't, you know, they arrive at the high school and it's a beautiful place. And so sometimes they forget and are easily swayed, you know, really simply just by aesthetics. And so, you know, I wanted to make sure that we were out there and that we continued to help our students remember the choices that they have made. So these are some of the things that we are doing to be able to recruit and to send the word out there that, you know, that we are available and that we are a choice for them. So right now we have about 70 students that we have recruited. Is 70 students. And what I need for you to know, I know that you remember that 100. I know that 100 is present in your mind. But one of the things that I need for you to understand is that we have about 400 students in our eighth grade class. And so when I say we've recruited, we've accepted 70, that constitutes 18% of our population. 18% of our population. And so I want to put that into perspective for you so that you can have, you know, something that you can compare it to. When we're looking at our neighboring districts, when we're looking at El Paso District serving 65,000 students, in their 9th through 12th grade classes, they were serving, and this is the data of 2011-2012, and I took this, the sources under there at the bottom, I took it from TEA, from the AEIS reports. They're serving 19,000 students in grades 9 through 12, 393 in early college. That's 2% of their population, 2% of students are getting early college services. If you follow the chart, Socorro is serving 3.7%, Isleta 2.8%, and you look at what we're doing. We're serving 16.5% of our population. I think that's something that we really need to be proud of. We're gonna continue to work towards that 100, and we're gonna continue to motivate and be out there to make people know that this is an option for them. But I want you to understand that the numbers are not too shabby. When we start to look at what, in comparison, what this really means, we're serving 16.5% in our own community versus the 2, 3, and 2.8 that the others are serving. And something else that I wanted to show you, because you might, you know, start to wonder about cost. You know, what is it costing to educate an early college student? And so I took this information also for the 2011-2012 school year from the AEIS on TEA. And the expenditures per student in Socorro, they're spending $23,000 per student. Penoteo High School, 2011-2012, spent $12,785. And this is not including facilities or the athletics, which was at about $1 million. These figures represent instruction and personnel. Northwest is in the median, right in the middle. 11,848, and down below us, Isleta is spending 11,823, 11,549 for EPISD. So we are not overspending for our early college program. We are not overspending for students. And so I wanted you to feel confident and comfortable that we are moving forward, we're doing a good job, and that, you know, we're right in there competing with the larger districts where our population is at 6,000. And the largest, of course, in our region is at 65. We're hanging in there, and we're doing okay. Last slide, I just want to thank you for your commitment, your support of Early College. We are thrilled to be able to work with students in a program that is so cutting edge, that is so innovative, and we really thank you for the opportunity, for the support. Any questions?
questions?
I have one.
Sure.
Is it kosher to visit middle schools in our area that are not Kanuti?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't gone out to area middle schools. Those students come to us is by word of mouth. Yeah. Is by word of mouth. You know, certainly it could be something that you know, that we will get to.
Well, I'm thinking Brown's right there. Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Ms. Rachel.
On the numbers you were talking about, the PISD is let out.
Expenditures or
no,
enrollment?
On, go back, further.
Okay.
It was on the numbers as to, yes.
This one?
Right there. Aren't their early colleges a little different than ours, too?
Mm-hmm. In what sense?
In the sense that we're pretty much accepting all students, correct?
Yes. We have criteria. We have, you know, a standard that we're looking at, but we're looking at 80% average in the core. We're looking at simply passing the STAR. And then we ask for other documents as well. But what we are finding is that the students that are coming to the early college, that are attracted to the early college, are coming from the middle section of our population. And so definitely, in that regard, we are very
different. We are different compared to the others.
Yes.
I just wanted to clarify that.
That's true. They have the cream of a crop. How late do you accept students?
Up until about 3 weeks before the beginning of the school year. And that's because, you know, we have to work really, really hard to be able to get them admitted to EPCC, give them their Accuplacer, get them enrolled, get their schedule, so on and so forth. There's a lot of little things that need to take place, but we'll look at an application up until 3 weeks before school starts. And then after that, there is no more enrollment.
Okay. So you had mentioned, and I don't know if I misunderstood, that there was one particular student that had 4 credits or so?
Yes.
Was that because it was a late?
Because when they got their Accuplacer score, they were already seniors.
Oh, but it's not that they started as a senior. Okay,
correct.
Go ahead.
Correct.
Okay. That's what I expected to hear. Cohort. How many students do we have that are not in cohort?
They're all on cohort.
They are?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. And how about credits, school credits, or failures, but class, are they failing classes? I expected a chart. What classes are they failing?
Certainly, I mean, you know, as the students come in and are adapting to the new environment, and we're talking really freshmen at this point, because really once they have surpassed the freshman year, they don't tend to fail their classes or be, you know, borderline, but the shock of coming into the early college and everything else that goes with it, it might aggravate some things and cause them to fail some classes. We do have some failures, and we are working with our students. You know, we monitor their progress every 6 weeks, and at the point where we need to sit down and put interventions into place, the whole team sits together. And so we're calling in the parents and saying, you know, these are the things that are going on, these are the interventions, this is the tutoring that we have going on. We need to work together to make sure that we salvage this credit, this student. Now, we do look at the credit average, which takes place at the end of the school year, and so mid-year, that's one of the options that we, you know, let the student know you failed this certain semester, this certain course, and as we're looking forward to the next course, to the next semester, you will need such and such
grade in order to credit average. Now, one thing that I am not doing is a credit recovery program in the summer. I feel that if the student failed the class, they're going to go back into the class the following school year. And so we don't have that credit recovery program summer school in the summer. And so the student will have up to that opportunity, up to that school year, to be able to salvage to credit average. But at the point where that doesn't happen, then they're coming back in there, and it'll be part of their course requirements for their school schedule.
Okay, what if they go to the high school for credit recovery? Is that an option?
That is not an option.
Okay, because it's a dual credit high school credit? Or
because they're early college students, and so they're being taken care of by the early college. So to be able to access, it's not that we can't offer it. It's that we're saying you need to continue to be in this course because you were unsuccessful in fulfilling expectations. Mm-hmm. So it could be something that we could put into place or consider, but at the point where we allow them to take care of it in a different way, like go ahead and, you know, go to Canutillo High School, get your credit, bring it back.
No, I understand. Yeah, I was just...
It's a different situation.
Okay. Thank you very much, unless the committee has more questions. And I really, I guess, a parent, I can attest to everything you shared tonight. I want to thank you all for being here. And yes, you answered all my questions when you were there. And Mr. Mercado, yes, you did.
Right there, Dan.
And thank you again very much for being here and for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item 7, program graduation of Renaissance and Ice Nation, Ms. Vieto.
Ms. Fierro, hold on a second. Ms. Sabina, is there any way that you can provide us a copy of your presentation via administration so that you can, please? Thank you. Thank you.
I'll put it in the Thursday packet.
Please. I'm sorry, Ms. Fierro.
Okay.
Thank you.
Normally, our iStation renewal occurs April 30th, and this year, because we want to align our funding with our programs, we purchased iStation with Title I. Now, the state did purchase iStation 4 in grades 3-8, but we still do have to purchase K-2 and K-3 in Spanish. The state is not providing iStation in Spanish for grade 3. They're not providing anything for K-2, and for iStation, it doesn't exist for 4 and 5 in Spanish. So when we do renew it, we'll have to renew for K-2 in English and then K-3 in Spanish, but the state did not provide for that. Renewal was up for April 30th, but when we're spending Title I funds, we really need to spend them to be in line with the instruction that's happening that year. So when we purchased it in April, it did give us instruction for that year and for the summer, but we want to align it to where when we renew it, it's going to be at the beginning of the year, so we keep our funding in line with the school year. The instruction that's happening this school year. So with that being said, I contacted iStation and I asked them if they could either give us a quote for May, June, or July, but I would be happy to take an extension as well. So they gave us an extension at no cost. So we'll have iStation all the way through July 15th, mm-hmm. and I will bring it for a renewal in this beginning of the school year in July. If we go through it, but we did conduct surveys, and we're finding that iStation is being well received by the campuses. The longer that it's been implemented, the more progress that they're making. Teachers are understanding how to use it better. Administrators are understanding how to use the data. We have our district assessment calendar, which has our testing it that we can monitor progress, and the students take an assessment every month so we can monitor the progress of them every month. if you look at, let me just give you an example, and then you can, you may already see, I'm sure you've already seen the data, but when we're looking at these bar charts, these bar graphs, for a usage report, it shows, you know, the level of good usage, fair usage, and insufficient usage. It's recommended that a student at Tier 3, which is our RTI, our Tier 1, our students that are on target, our Tier 2, they're falling behind, and Tier 3, they're really struggling. They should be using their program 120 minutes per week if they're Tier 3. If they're Tier 2, recommends 90 minutes per week, and Tier 1, 45 minutes per week. And the thing about this program is not just getting computers on the program, but the program will send alerts when students aren't doing well, send an alert to the teacher that this student needs an intervention on this particular aspect of the program. And then there's a binder of interventions that the student can choose, I mean, that the teacher can choose to use those interventions or some other intervention that's going to target that area. If we look at, I'd like to take your attention to Deanna Davenport.
What page?
You know what? Let me get the board page.
Where does it have the campus?
I'm sorry?
Where does it list the campus?
At the top, it's on, you know what, this isn't number, but it says Deanna Davenport right here.
Oh, on that one, okay, I'm sorry.
Can I see it, please?
Okay, thank you.
And then I'm going to collect this.
No, if you notice their usage at Deanna
Davenport.
Mm-hmm. Did you all see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So if we continue to turn the page, and I know it's not numbered, but if you continue to go and then pass this page. Sorry. And keep going until you see Deanna Davenport again. It will be this one.
Hello?
Did everyone find it? Okay, if you look at your pre-K, you saw the usage was very high. Look at your pre-K, 88% are on grade reading level. Your kindergarten, you have 65% on reading level. First grade, 66, where the usage is high. And if you go and you go two pages over where you're looking at the trend lines, you can see that all students are on target to get to reading level with your K-2. And that's where their usage is highest.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
For the, which one is on reading level? Are we looking at
Tier
1,
the green.
Okay.
Show us the campus that is not using it. Or
all the campuses are using it.
Or barely using it.
Okay, let me.
Probably, would it be Garcia?
Garcia is probably using it a little bit less in
Canutia Elementary. I saw Canutia Elementary and Garcia.
Garcia in third grade hardly uses it at all. Let me see the other one.
Yeah, I saw Canutia and Garcia. You know, I've received complaints. I'm not going to say that. Never mind. I'll tell you that later.
Okay. You mean as far as, like, is it, what do we find out if it's technological?
Well, I don't know. Okay.
Yes. I'll write that on my notes.
I have to do something.
I do not.
And if you look and you compare, for example, County Elementary, you can see that the usage is less and the progress is less as well.
Yeah.
And the good thing about the, you know, and it's never a program. It's always going to be your teachers. Program is just a resource. It is a good program, though, because it's structured. It provides intervention, provides alerts to teachers where students are struggling. So one of the reasons that Deanna Davenport is being so successful with this program is because they have it structured into the day, and the expectation is that they have the students.
Is it also about licensing?
No, the station is every student.
It's every student.
Every student at the elementary school has a license.
It's not about licensing. That's why they need a voice technology.
Madam Chair, I've got a question.
Ms. Searles.
Ms. Vieira, what I'm looking at here is just, am I correct, and this is just something, this is the report that you've just pulled off of the computer and stuck in our packet here that we get. Don't you think it would be much more convenient for board members if you would have broken this down into a narrative that said, instead of us sitting here, seriously, like wasting time, going back and forth and back and forth, saying, you know, I can see very clearly that in March of this year, this is what happened. At this school, that school, and that school. This is not at all, in my opinion,
User-friendly.
User-friendly. I mean...
So you just want maybe this...
I mean, this is the report for her. But come to the board should be a nice little narrative that's instead of us...
And then just have this maybe as backup.
Doing this, saying, well, yeah, this would be the backup, but a narrative that says, you know, at Garcia, they don't even use this, but probably they don't use it because they don't need it or want it, and they're using something else. At Davenport God, we're seeing gangbusters. Looks great. They're on task. I find, you know, I just...
I can do that. I really did. I just wanted to show you also where we derive the data and how we derive it. And future, I can.
And I saw that in this other program evaluation, too, that all these are just sheets that, you know, are really just copied off a computer. And, yes, they're specific to our campuses, but does it mean a lot to us as board members? I can speak for myself. This means nothing to me.
Okay.
It's very... complicated and hard to get through.
So what we can do is we can use this as backup, Ms. Searles, and then do a narrative saying, based on the computer reports of this period, this is what we're seeing, this is what we're seeing as far as growth.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Don't you see?
Almost like tables, rather than with just a real narrative with just a quick table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, I mean, you know, user-friendly, to the point, I mean, I'm looking in front of each and every one of our places. We've got paperwork stacked high, and not comprehensive.
Correct.
Yeah. I would seriously, is that stepping out of lines, Madam Chair?
No.
Do you want me to include this as well in future, just as backup, or you just want the comprehensive? So, you know what
you could do, Ms. Vienna, what I would recommend, if I may, Ms. Searles, what I would recommend is that we could do a narrative, and then you have the backup, and if any particular board member would like to see that stuff, then you could do
expand.
It. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
And then we have, but you have the two-page narrative, and then we have the backup in case anyone wants to say, do you have the numbers, please?
Because, I mean,
I understand.
Not one of us is sitting up here
we
on the clock.
That. Okay, we can do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good enough. Ms. Patsy, you mentioned something about the middle schools.
Is there a reason why the 7th and 8th grade at both campuses now?
Yes, because they use
a Chief 3000.
When we piloted, when iStation allowed us to pilot, they allowed us to pilot in the summer, our 6th graders liked it, our 7th graders did not. And we also compiled a Chief 3000 for 8th graders. They liked it. 7th, 8th grade teachers prefer Chief 3000. More expository. More interesting for that level of student.
Mr. Rodriguez. Welcome, Mr. Rodriguez.
Thanks. Is there any way that we could have, like, an open-ended question, but a text where, provide this type of feedback
Where they can type in their response?
Yes, where they can.
Comment?
Put the text in on the Survey Monkey.
Just a comment one.
Either, yeah, but frame the question sort of, what areas of improvement do you feel, or where, what feedback can you provide on this project? And then,
just a text one that, but kind of.
One or two.
Open-ended.
Yeah, so that way you get a different, not just a survey, but you could try to get some of that feedback back.
Okay. Okay. Any more questions? Is this an action item? No? No. Okay. Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item 8, resolution of the board of to suspend portions of EIA local and EIC local for the 2012-13 school year only. Ms. Fierro.
This resolution is asking for the board to approve to suspend, as the commissioner has given us permission to suspend the 15% rule for the end course exam for another year.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. Recommended.
Oh, thank you.
Recommended to the board for full approval. I mean, for approval.
Thank you.
Next agenda item.
Item B, personnel. CTE counselor job description. Ms. Carrasco.
Thank you, Ms. Fierro.
She's MIA.
Her little feet are coming.
I can hear her heels.
Those all look like real exasperating when she walks in.
MIA?
Ms. Carrasco.
That's right. Double MIA. Hi, Juana. Ms. Carrasco, no longer MIA.
Madam Chair, committee members, trustees, and Ms. Brady. The first item, I believe, is the CTE counselor. In your Thursday packet, I provided a job description for the career technology education counselor that would be an addition to the counselors at the high school. This is an exempt position. It's an administrative professional, pay grade 3, working 204 days. This is exactly the same, mirroring the counselors that are there already. But basically, this one will be serving career technology. I know that we had talked about this position, and so therefore we created a job description. It was provided for your consideration and input. Any questions?
Is there any questions? No questions. She needs a new phone. No.
This is also paid. This will be, like Ms. Carrasco said, this will be coming out of the Perkins State Funds.
Okay.
Okay.
No questions. Recommended to the full board.
Item 2, governmental relations job description.
Okay, this is a job description that I believe was requested by the committee the last time we spoke. With the interest of there being a director of governmental relations kind of sort of position. When we looked at that and we made that, I set it at a director level. This would be an AP 7, administrative professional 7. It would be an exempt position, 224 days. And basically as a director position, what I did include under supervisory responsibility that it would oversee the public information office. So This is still, I would send it out to TASB to review and make sure that we're placing it at the right level. Either, I did an AP7, it could be an AP6. Basically what we're doing at the
I think it should be an AP6.
An AP6, the salary range, the low end is 73,626 and the high end is 95,000 with the midpoint being 84,629. At an AP7.
How about an AP1?
At an AP7, it's the range is 81,345, high end is 101,000. So that would be, like I said, I also provided this for your input and for discussion if there is anything that we want to, you know, add or delete from here. And I can certainly, as I said, once we, this is a draft format, and I still would like to send it to TASB for their review.
What are the surrounding districts doing with this? To something similar or what?
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, this position would probably be at a high.
Higher than what we have?
Well, no. It would be.
I was going to say make that person a superintendent.
Executive director, associate. No, basically, you know, it is at a director level position. Ms. Earls explained, you know, some of the duties and some of the things that. So this would be a person, you know, being a liaison with all the with the county and the city and, you know, the legislative. You know, making sure that our issues are carried forward. So it would be basically at a director level.
Sure, it's a lot of money.
Mr.
Rodriguez.
Madam Chair, are we looking at putting this in the budget or in the, or we're just looking at information? I think we should sort of take a step back, see what is it that we're looking at. It would be nice to have somebody like this, but I think, you know, my concern is just making administration top heavy. So
this would go on eight. You're right, sir. This would, but I don't know. If you look at, I could check on the EAS to see where we stand. We're not that as far as other districts, but this would be included, like
yes,
you said,
think,
in the admin.
I think we need to get
right.
Some more information. Mm-hmm. Let's see what other districts are doing.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it would be nice to have somebody like this on board, but I think when you look at the amount of money that's actually being spent, I think we need to have, for sure we need to have more involvement when it comes to whether it's city or county government stuff, and as well as the federal and state. But usually we'll have TASB on top of the state issues, and then we have, we need to have somebody to look at our local agenda when it comes to CADE and stuff like that. But that's what I have to say.
But I was going to ask also with Mr. Rodriguez's comment there, also to Ms. Searles, I think what we could do, if I may, could we send this to TASB and look at what they come back as, and then that's just more information that we have, Ms. Carrasco? Is that appropriate?
We can do that. And the reason I brought this forward was because from our last meeting it was, you know, brought up as a discussion point. Mm-hmm. To see if we could develop a job description for this position, because I did mention that we did go out to RFQ or RFP for some type of service like this. And then
right.
We had talked about this being a different type of
what is the update on that? It's not on, but looking at somebody that was going to do that, I mean, my question is, has that even gone out? Or
the RFQ?
Is it still in the process? I mean, we're in mid-legislation. What's the point of doing it if we're not going to have any? And we gave this, what, before the new year? Last year, right?
I think it's been since January.
January.
No, it has. I don't think it was discussed
January,
okay. February, sir. But I will check with you, and I will let you know, and I'll update on Thursday packet.
So do you want, does my committee members have anything to say? Do you? No? No? Do you want to send the, do we want to send this to TASB? And
that would be a wise
and send, and go wait for that information for you to provide us an update?
I think it would be, if I may, I think that would be a good conservative thing to get with TASB. And Ms. Carrasco, you could get, you know, is it Luce that you'll be talking to? Yeah, and if you could talk to Luce, because it has 24 items there, and then she'll say, well, because you have this item, this could have pushed it into an AP6, or you have this item, or other districts your size having an AP5. But I think that would give us some, and she would say, if you look, because she's very good about coming in and zeroing on a job description, on saying if you take this item out and this item out, you could go down a level, or this is what other. So if you, what I would think, it's a conservative, and we're paying for it anyways. I would recommend you to send it to TASB, and then I can get that information on the RFQ that Mr. Rodriguez just asked me to do in a Thursday packet.
Okay. Ms. Searles.
I have a couple of suggestions that I saw in here that weren't, I don't think were covered. One of the words you just used was not a liaison. I didn't see that specifically printed out. And also, on quite a few of these different out of the 24, they're reporting to the superintendent and associate superintendent. I think they ought to report to the board, too.
Mm-hmm.
When it's they're mm-hmm. giving a report
on
or
all those that have that, Ms. Searles, you would like, we could just add that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
There's, you know, probably four.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw too where awesome in here that it's got strategic planning. And I'm right now at a loss for where I saw it.
I saw that, ma'am. It was on page.
Oh, it's up at the very top,
right,
primary
number
purpose.
Number three.
The strategic planning. And I think that somewhere that also needs to be maybe expanded a little more to be represented in the 24, the planning, the zoning issues addressed, first line of communication with city.
Oh, yes, I see what you're talking.
With city and county on expansion and development, which I think is really key, that the mm-hmm. first line of communication with city, county, I don't think the state's going to develop anything.
I like
expansion
first,
and
yeah.
development mm-hmm. in our district.
We could put it right underneath. Yeah, we could put it in there. Okay.
That those. Input. And then I question, too, what Mr. Rodriguez says. And we've got two things here that maybe are really one thing. That maybe this government
yes.
person and then this strategic planning person really are the same person. And mm-hmm. I think this is a really huge salary.
It is.
I think the salary could be considerably lower.
I agree.
That I had more, you know, what my mind was thinking, you know, was like 45, 50, somewhere in there, because
you know, I was wondering and agree.
And maybe
with
you can, you know, some of these duties that sound so intensive loosen up and that so do and bring down that salary.
Or to what Mr. Rodriguez said, that you know, with the RFQ
uh-huh.
that you were talking about too, that what we might want to look at, is that a better way to go? Do you want to do it as a contracted service or as an employee?
Yes. I sort of feel like it has to be an employee
okay.
because it has to be someone who loves
more
our district and cares.
And accountable to us.
Yeah,
okay.
And that, you know, maybe even someone okay. from within our midst that, you know, is able to do
okay.
this. Because it's got to be somebody who loves our district.
Okay.
And, you know, cares whether we're getting 5 million apartments next to the high school.
I will go ahead and make those revisions
yeah.
and then submit it to TASB for review, and then I'll bring that back.
And the one And the one that I have, Ms. Carrasco, is that the one where Ms. Searles had put, like, on number 8, it would be number 15.
14.
And number 14.
14 and 15.
14 and 15. Add
and four.
School board and number 4. Thank you, Ms. Searles.
And maybe 2.
Okay. That would be 3-way communication. Yes. And then we'll add school board to that. And the other thing Ms. Searles asked is if we could add a line for, you know, that they would represent the district and first and be in the first line of communication for expansion and development of areas within CIST. Yes?
Yeah, and that we would know, you know, you're looking at 45 homes are going over there. Mm-hmm. You have enough school space to put them, and could also, you know, they could do a lot of things, but okay. I'm sure Ms. Carrasco can come back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. It's recommended to the full board with those changes.
I thought we were bringing it back for further discussion.
Yes, and you're going to recommend. Well, yes, then take it back. Yes, do what we asked you previously. Thank you. Undo. Next agenda item, yes.
Item 3, Director of Curriculum and Instruction, job description.
I bring forth the Director of Curriculum and Instruction for your consideration and input. This is a job description that is being revamped. Mm-hmm. For the reorganization or the realignment of positions. And at this point, I'm open for any input or questions from the committee.
Were there a lot of changes to this job description? Okay.
Basically, it is in the area of supervision.
Right, I saw that.
The area of supervision is instructional and support staff and the secondary counselors.
Right.
Okay. And it's basically the changes are within the supervision of the areas. It's a more
concise.
It's not as the span of control is not as much. It's smaller.
Okay. Any questions? Ms. Searles.
I don't know how to put this back to, that's a lot of money. I don't mean to be cheap, but.
Can you? Yeah, it's commensurate, I do think. If you look at, I can see your point though, yeah. But
can you state the pay range again?
The pay range, the AP7, this is going to be a 224 days, and it starts with a daily rate of $363.15, which is $81,345.60. And mid-range is $408.03 daily rate. That comes out to
$91,398.72. May I ask you, what is... the special ed and the ALS, they're both?
The special ed is 7.
The ALS is 6, and the special ed is 7. Mm-hmm.
Is there an AP8?
The AP8 is the
executive
director.
Yes, there is. All the executive directors and the high school principal are on the AP8
scale.
Why wouldn't we go with an AP6 on this?
Because one of the things is curriculum, it's pre-K through 12, and then it's all the curriculum, writing, math, science, social studies, and it's all the EOC courses, it's a STAR. The complexity is more than the ALS, which is a smaller segment of the population. You know, that's why you're in AP6. And so this is all of the principals, that have to be
they're going to be sitting with all the principals, be able to talk to the principals about curriculum instruction. And it pretty much follows what the norm from across, if you look at the districts. But curriculum instruction is the meat and potatoes of a district, and it's pre-K through 12. And it's all subjects.
You want to ask me to look at this?
We could. I mean, I think that will come back, but I think we could do that if you'd like.
I would feel more comfortable deciding what the committee wants, but I'd like to see what has to be thought as far as, I have no problem with the job description itself, but with the salary range and stuff, that's what I think. Mm-hmm.
I think, so would you like Caspi to review it for us?
I personally would.
Okay.
I don't know about my colleagues, but I personally
would. Well, I will go ahead and say with that tomorrow.
We have no problem doing that. And then, based upon that, you would like us to do it as the job description stands, Ms. Mendoza?
I don't see any problem.
Okay. Ms. Searles, do you have?
Great. Yeah, I very much agree with Ms. Mendoza.
Okay. Next agenda item, please.
Item 4, Executive Director of School and Student Resources.
Again, in the Thursday packet, I have provided you the job description for the Executive Director of School and Student Resources. This position, or the job description, was previously approved, and we went ahead and posted in January. It's been up since then. We've advertised in various other sites. We've advertised through the El Paso Times in a couple of weekends. It ran in the newspaper. We do currently have 5 applicants that qualify for this position, and we're ready to interview. But I was requested to bring it forth to the committee for some possible changes.
Can you state the salary range on this one?
That's an APA. It's an executive director.
Right. May I have the salary range? I didn't
bring it. Have them bring that to me. It is a 224, and it is the executive director, and that was, again, a position that was repurposed, I guess, for the reorganization.
One of the suggestions was, and I don't know how the rest of the members feel about it, is that we wait until the new superintendent gets hired. It's up to you how you want to move forward. If you want to move forward or if we want to proceed, I don't have a problem.
Closer to the end of the year, maybe we'll have more.
This has been, the only thing is, this has been in the El Paso Times, like I said, we've already advertised it twice.
But we're like getting a move
to the tune of what?
Oh, $2,500 a piece, so it's like $5,000 in advertising.
We spent more money and some other things before. It's whatever. It's
how people are tied up.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever you guys want.
Ms. Mendoza, I got the salary. It's this is the AP8, and the minimum in the posting, this is the actual posting. Minimum is $90,484, and midpoint is $100,537.
100 and what?
$100,537.
It's midpoint.
And top. She never gives me one.
What is the top?
She doesn't give anybody midpoint. She doesn't give anybody
midpoint. In our postings, we always just publish the...
Mr. Rodriguez, we would love to hear from you. Mr. Rodriguez?
One of the questions I have on the long term is that the type on the reorganizational structure, is that going to be the optimal when it comes to long term?
I don't know. We've restructured this twice, three times.
I'm saying on the long term, what is it that, you know, I know when the board restructured it the second time, they wanted a more technology,
yes,
knowledge individual. Mm-hmm.
And
that
changed the job description.
But when you look at that, is it better to have somebody under IT or not? And so that's what I had
originally wanted to go
with. I mean, your job is to give us that feedback.
Yeah, I did want to do that IT director. And we can't... In the absence of an IT director, you need to have this. You absolutely need to have this. But if you don't,
we need to have somebody in place. And so, what we're asking is your professional opinion. What is it that, on the long term, how we're going to address the issues of the district? And do we wait? Do we not? Or do we put an intern in there? That's just something that needs to be drawn out. So.
Ms. Mendoza, going over again, minimum is $90,484, midpoint is $100,537, and maximum is
$110,600.
Oh, okay. That's the salary range for the AP 8.
Thank you. To discuss Mr. Rodriguez's comment. I think no matter what a person applies to this job, it is an AP8, it's a promotion. Any district can absolutely, you know, I mean, this is a promotion and any district would let them go. You do have to have a level of technical expertise, not necessarily in, there has to be some background knowledge of the infrastructure, the wiring, the electrical, the cabling, especially with a $39 million bond project that we have. We already saw that with the facilities committee the other night when we saw that some of that stuff wasn't put in. So I don't know. I think the department, I mean, can we survive? Yeah, we can survive. But it's getting thin, folks. It's getting thin. You know, we're talking that this position would be vacant till end of May. You know, I think there'll be, you know, I mean, then we have to repost again. We couldn't be able to, you know. I do think there's a lot of, this is a position that straddles both fences. So I understand there is a lot of, I think it's great at bringing in the student resources is a little, adds a little bit of curriculum to it, or adds a little bit more school in the title. And that's another person. But if you look at the people, supervisory, if you look at, you do have a blend of, but it's the, you know, it's the information analysis, all that information, the PEANS, which is now going to become TSDS, which we are looking at becoming an early adopter, which I think we need to back out of if this position's not going to be filled. Because I don't have enough time to do it. which that's okay. We don't have to be an early adopter. The TSDS system, I don't know if your board, the school board had talked about that. It says what's going to be taken over, it's going to be a supplemental to PEAMS that is a mandated program. The TA is making all the districts. Have you read about this one, Rachel, TSDS? It's coming. And so, you know, so I think it's, but as far as executive director level, you know, I feel comfortable with that. I think that's what, I know, Fabens, which is, are they small enough? They have, and San Eli has this position.
Ms. Brigham, in the long run then, and like Mr. Rodriguez said, in the reorganizational or the chart, are you going to be asking for a director on top of
the board decided that not to do, to put in their position. Because originally, I wanted to go with the director of technology and take away this. And that was, it's.
Well, no, it was Dr. Murphy, it wasn't us.
Oh, for the director of technology?
Well, he wanted the executive director. He wanted both.
He wanted both.
So it wasn't us.
Well, you know, I think what I think we need, Puff, absolutely, we need a technical person. Now, whether that technical person, but see, I can't, I guess it's what comes first.
So do we need to go back to the drawing board and just do a director's position instead of an executive director? Because I think...
I mean,
your sincere opinion. Your sincere opinion. You're a taxpayer too.
My sincere opinion. What Annette Brigham asked for originally was a director of technology.
Okay, you see, so
no, but it, and I did, and you know, and I fought for the director of technology first. If you recall, to get that position filled first.
Yeah, but
because I felt that's what we need. Because when you look at the board meeting, I think the board packet you're going to get, there's $200,000 of computers coming. We have the program for the wireless project. We have the, you know, so I do think.
So then let's go back and start all over again with the director. Why are we hiring an executive director? Do you agree, Ms. Patsy?
Whatever.
Well, remember that this position was not only going to be over IT, but also over student resources. So that one had a wide span of control.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no, because that other person is also a director.
Right. You're right. Well, I think that's an option. I mean, my worry is that we get a technical person. And if you want that technical person to be a director of technology rather than executive director, I can live with that.
So much.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because what my concern was, number one, is for, and you're right, I did forget that. You're absolutely right. Because when it was said that we weren't going to have the director of technology, that we had to become this more technical, remember
right,
that?
Right, right.
And it had to be, because we need that expertise in the technology director. I'm okay with that. I mean, we already have a job description. Do we have a job description? We already have a job description for director of technology. I mean, because we were already there.
What do you think?
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Mr. Rodriguez. Uh-oh.
And I think that's what Mr. Rodriguez was alluding to, but maybe.
Ms. Searles.
The question I have is, I guess the the understanding of what the organization was going to be left, and then what is it that, how is it that it needs to be looked at to address whether it's the growth needs of our student population or whether it's the areas of technology and resources. The biggest concern I have is till we have a new superintendent on board, How is that, whether it's a cabinet level or what, you know, what type of organization is the best? And so.
Well, and, you know, to.
And, you know, talking about like the other governmental affairs, mm-hmm. when we keep on getting top heavy and just creating executive directors. And so, I guess, I mean, I'm not an expert and we don't say how it needs to be done. It's what needs to be done as board. And that's what our role is. But, you know, what I guess the biggest concern is, what is the optimal way of running the district in the long term? And so, you know, my concern here is that we hire an executive director, and from there on, we hire our superintendent, and that could have been, it could have been a more flatline model. I don't know.
I'm actually.
And I can't predict it.
Yeah.
So, I see where we need somebody right now, especially, you know, you have your head going probably four or five ways. And so.
But, you know, with what you just said, Mr. Rodriguez, I think what we could do is look at the organizational structure. Because what I'm thinking, I've already got it, I'm already doing the little flowchart in my head over here. And I can see, especially if you know, you're talking with the associate, so follow me, okay? And then on the associate, you might redo that job description. I'm just saying. And then you put the directors under the associate. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm just thinking out loud, real, without, okay? And then.
Well, do you want to go back to the drawing board and then bring us I mean, something? I don't know.
Because I can absolutely do that.
Because we're not ready for this position. Let's just hold on.
We're ready for a position in
but we
school
don't know,
resources.
But
we need a position in school resources.
Are any of these people able to do like an interim basis or?
No. No, the applicants?
I'm saying let's say if we find a pool of applicants, we have a pool of applicants.
I don't think anyone would give up their job to come in for interim, though.
No.
Madam Chair, I have a question.
Ms. Searles.
Are any of the applicants just, you're going, oh God, I cannot believe this person has applied here. They are just so awesome and so well qualified.
I don't know most of them.
But maybe just not knowing, just reading their resume, are you thinking, oh God, how could we get this?
Ms. Look at what happened in writing. And
well, I know, but just, you know, is there somebody that, yeah, boy. Is there somebody really, though, that you're seeing thinking, oh, this is so good, we can't, you know, can't wait any longer?
No, not really. I mean, like I said,
I think we have solid applicants.
Yes, we have five solid applicants that meet the minimum qualifications and have experience that would probably do a very good job if selected at any one of those five.
But
of course, all of that would, you know, you need that interview and that face-to-face.
The practical.
I kind of sit with Ms. Mendoza that. Ms. Quintana, I think, said it. One of y'all said it. That, you know, like we're kind of at mid-year, like at midpoint. You know, if you wait, I hate to drag my feet, but that's sort of.
Well, we got the applicants after we advertised. We didn't get them until it was advertised. You know, that's when we got them, right?
Yeah. It's been posted since January the 28th.
So what you're saying is you posted it and didn't get anything, and so then you went and advertised?
Well, I believe I've been giving you updates in your packet. I had been asked for updates on that and, you know, how many applicants. Right. Were we getting a strong applicant pool? Were people applying? And so I kept providing updates. And so, of course, we did what we could to try and attract as many applicants as we could.
And that was the purpose of advertising on other websites and advertising in the El Paso Times, to be able to bring a good pool, a good solid pool of applicants to the interview committee.
And we linked it with, the last time we did it, we linked it with the special ed director.
Yes, the special ed director has also been advertised in various job sites.
Mr. Rodriguez.
I think there's several ways to go about it, and what we need to do is find in what direction administration wants to go. One is to either go with what we have now and interview and hire for that, whether it's an executive, well, it would be for the executive director of technology and school resources. The other is to possibly interview these individuals and see if there is a director of technology within that applicant pool.
Probably.
And then hire for that and say it's that type of director, or the other is hire an intern.
I don't think we can.
And then till we actually get it all straightened out, because I think we can't wait much longer when it comes to having a body in that position.
Well, I'm concerned because we have summer coming up, and just like we do with facilities, that you have to have all the plans for summer. We're trying to do all that, and it's a lot of work to try to coordinate the RFPs. We have three RFPs.
Who was the previous director?
Huh. Oh, it's somebody, some strange person.
To come in as an intern?
Pardon?
To come in as an intern for a couple months.
Oh my God.
But is there anybody out there? I guess those are the three options. You have your intern to actually get it all straightened out and go through the process, or hire, go through the same thing. You're the second one. So, but I mean, it's up to what administration wants to recommend. I don't think we should wait.
I think.
Based just a suggestion.
Upon what Ms. Gonzalez's question or comment that she made, you were exactly right. I know, write it down. You were exactly right.
For the
what
record?
What you said is that this was my initial recommendation to the board was director of technology. That was my original, absolutely my original. So I stand by that.
Good, I'm happy to hear.
So, but I do think, with what I'm saying, Mr. Rodriguez, is I do think if we went with the director of technology, I do not think the applicant pool that we have, because they apply for executive director, I think we have to have an imposter.
We have to. We have
to. We have to scrap what we've got.
Yes.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can.
Yes.
The other issue that puts it back 2 months, because we're not we're not going to have a board meeting until, I mean, we can't put it on Thursday's board meeting. We won't have it until after spring break. We'll be on the 26th board meeting.
But if we even.
I'd have to bring back
the job description.
The committee, and I bring it back in April when we meet.
So that means we'll be able to get posted to April 26th.
And that's fine, they'll get hired in May. We don't want to hire someone that is an executive director. Come on, Annette, just a
second. Okay, we'll just figure out how to do all the summer stuff.
I think if we're going to wait more than 1 month, we need somebody, we need a body here.
I have a suggestion. We've already seen this job description for the executive director. We all seem to have a great deal of trust in your ability at writing these job descriptions. Possibly she could put the new revised director of technology's description
in
the Thursday packet. And
if it's a new job description, it would have to go through the process, which is...
Well, then it could go to...
Do we need to do it?
Well, actually, you've already seen the job description. Yep. It was just...
What's the policy, though? Does it have to... If a job description is created, it has to be approved by the board, right?
No, because it's just a majority here, so...
No.
I'm just kidding.
I think it's not job description. We don't have that job. It's a job creation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had already looked at it, and we have to undo what we did. I told you.
Okay, so I can put that in your Thursday packet.
But I, from what I'm hearing, it's not going to make any. It's not going to make it any better because if it were in the Thursday packet,
it has to be approved. Then you have to post it. What's the law? 5, 10 days, 15 days, 10 days.
Ten days, Martha? 10 days?
We post for 10 days, 10 yes, business. But, you know, sometimes we're still getting applicants, so it has to run longer.
Right.
And we have to go, if we don't see any bites, then what we start doing is advertising in the newspaper and advertising.
Okay.
And then Ms. Brigham has funds in her budget to post.
Yeah, and the superintendent's budget, so.
Yeah, I have plenty of money since I've dealt with 3 budgets. I'm getting all confused.
Okay, so does the committee? So, so the committee agrees to.
So we will pull the executive director position off the website tomorrow.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll scratch that and we'll start over with the director.
All right.
And then
we have to notify all these people.
Probably.
All right. Good enough. Thank you. Next agenda item before we talk on the move. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Leave it on the board.
Item 5, stipends. Martha Crossville and Juana Gutierrez.
Stipends.
Thank you. This
is Juana Gutierrez, and she is a secondary certification specialist. And she handles all the stipends. So she's the one that people contact with their evaluations, and she's the one that sets up payment for the stipends.
She forgot to put a board stipend there.
I didn't see it, you're right.
No, that's why we're addressing it tonight.
Okay. So we're bringing, usually we bring this list to you during the budget season, and we're bringing it to you a little earlier just to make some clarifications and some corrections. And I believe Ms. Arapo is here also. If there's any questions about the CTE stipends that I've described here. First of all, Ms. Hammack came to Personnel Committee to request that we add 3 more coordinators for the Special Ed Olympics at $500 each. Just told us that she has money in her budget. Currently in the stipend list that I provided you, you can see that we did have 1 position, and so she wants to up 3 more to make it a total of 4 positions.
Why?
Pardon me?
Why?
Because she's got the kids going to the Special Olympics, and she feels it's a lot of work for just 1 person.
It is.
Okay. And she would like to have...
I thought it was 1 per elementary. That's why I said why 3.
Oh, that's a good question. It's, you know, no, it's not. It's like there's 1 for field and track, and then there's another 1 for
prevent.
You know, for like team sports, and we can't do the team sports with only 1.
Okay.
I have an off-the-wall question to ask. When I was in Washington, it was put forth that there was now going to be inclusion, that all special ed kids would now be included on all regular sports teams. And, which, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know how that happens, but this is what they were saying. Has anybody else heard anything of this?
Well, I think that's coming out of Title IX, and some of it, you know,
it's a whole new title.
Yes, it's a whole new title, but
they're
going to
make
a
new title.
It's like a shot, like what Title IX did.
Exactly.
It's more like what that's doing, and
we just don't know enough now. So go forth with what we've got.
Right. I think it is on the drawing boards, and what I saw is. Is I know in Canadio, and I can't talk for the other districts, but I do know in Canadio that we're excellent in including kids.
Oh, yeah.
And we're excellent in including kids with cognitive disabilities.
Okay, I didn't mean to muddy the water at
and
all.
No, just... but it's a valid question, but I haven't heard that they haven't brought down any specifics yet.
Okay.
So as fast as
so we're stealing our clients.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Enough.
In the special ed, I think it's the most severely cognitively delayed, and then also the kids that are physically impaired. You know, your kids with...
They gave the example of the kid in the wheelchair will be on the basketball team.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow, that's extreme.
It is extreme. It everyone went, how? So,
was it in the works, Ms. Searles?
They acted like it was a done deal.
Wow.
I'm
going to
check into that.
Yeah.
Did you know, and that was in Washington, I'll have Coach Brooks check it. That sounds like a good thing for Coach Brooks.
It's good for him to get in trouble and finding that out.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, so for whatever it's worth, I did hear that firsthand.
Wow.
And okay. I'll tell him to check on a new title or government reg for inclusion or PE in sports.
It was specifically sports.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Ms. Carrasco.
Yes, the next item is the Career Technology Education Student Organization stipends. And basically, what Ms. Araujo came to personnel committee and described, as you can see, the corrections that were made. I'll give you, for example, the FFA. It said add science 3 per chapter. Well, Ms. Araujo explained that there is only one chapter, and then there is a sponsor and a co-sponsor. And so she felt that the co-sponsor, really the sponsor, was the one taking the brunt of the work for the chapter, and the co-sponsor was just assisting. So the way it was written up, it said add science 3 per chapter. It was a stipend was $1,700. So basically, she wants the sponsor to receive the $1,700 and the co-sponsor to receive half of that. And so we've kind of looked at, she went through this, you know, in some instances they only have one chapter, not the multiple chapters, and then some of the organizations have co-sponsors. And so not to leave them out, she's wanting them just to, for us to reorganize the way we wrote this up. And allocate. And again, there is money in her budget, and of course, the allocation here, for example, where it says Act Science 3 per chapter, well, they had allocated the $1,700 for 3, and basically we only need 1.5.
I have a question. We keep saying there's money in their budget, there's money in their budget. Is it ever going to go away and then the district is going to be responsible for picking up on this?
Well, this is basically the
Perkins
technology.
No, it's not Perkins.
Is this Perkins, Ms. Araujo?
No.
No?
No, it's not a state, it's local.
Nope. Wow.
Oh, this to be absolutely upfront, there is going to be a decline in CTE enrollment next year. Because we're going 8 period day.
Well,
there's no way we're going to get around it.
Yeah.
Of the groups, the different populations that the state funds or programs that the state funds are left bilingual special.
Well, I'm referring as a whole, not just this program.
Well,
as a whole.
The funds that are allocated to the CTE program can comfortably provide the stipend for this upcoming year. And I guess to answer the second question, or what if it goes away, well, the stipends are approved on a
every
yearly
basis.
Yeah, but
so,
but once you're given, it's not that easy to just pull them.
Well, yes.
And I'm not picking on it.
I understand what you're saying. However, I guess the understanding is there that it's a policy that's in place. And so as if that were to come to be, I would say that even if the numbers are reduced for next year's budget, there is still sufficient amount of funding there to cover those stipends. I would say that we do have that option, though, to make an announcement with sufficient time if that consideration is being made that this, due to funding or lack of funding, the following year.
Well, no, I'm glad we're very financially okay, but I'm just, we're not like other districts right now, but.
And basically, these stipends are paid at the end of the year, and so that's why the recommendation is being made now to make that adjustment so that when they are paid out at the end of the year, we pay them out according to
So this is for this year?
This is for this year.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Searles?
I don't agree. I'm looking right underneath at athletic stipends. They're huge. Huge. And do I think that really very, in fact, we could do a survey, how many of our kids went on to be professional athletes? I don't think any. Maybe one or two, maybe baseball player, but, you know, for the big-time professional athletes or did that for their occupation, I'm going to think it's a low number. When I look at these others, the technology students, HOSA, FFA, FCCLA, FBLA, these are all things that, just as the title mentions, career. Children are going to use these as careers. They're going to get careers out of them. And the teachers who teach them that have a second obligation to these kids, not just teach them their schoolwork and their classwork. They're teaching them for a lifetime. And I think it's short-sighted on our part to take back from them what they actually at this point never got, because we approved these last year, so they've never received this whatsoever. They had an expectation also that they would receive this. I personally think what you ought to do, Ms. Araujo, is split the difference, actually, like where you're saying your future business leaders. We only have one chapter?
Yes, ma'am. There's certain chapters that are only allowed to have one chapter. Certain student organizations are only allowed to have one chapter per district.
I see that. Okay.
And so there's some like FBLA, DECA, FFA, it's only one chapter.
Okay.
We're allowed to have in BPA, HOSA, Texas Skills USA. They're allowed to have
more than one chapter,
yeah,
as indicated here. If it's your concern of their stipends in compared to the other athletic programs, certainly we can raise that with some kind of justification or proof stating that you must have these credentials at the end of the year to fulfill your stipend. But my concern is, for example, I don't know if it's in your packet, but I have a teacher, Melinda Castillo, that she's a co-sponsor for FCCLA as well as Skills USA, who's a co-sponsor. Right there in the cell, she's just hanging on to help us save just the minimal type in the clerical part and compared to putting her full part into it, and she's getting more than one sponsor itself. So I'm sure she might like the idea of just co-sponsoring than taking a full sponsorship, because uh-huh, she's gaining the more than the regular full sponsor. And my point is that it's not gonna, there's only her and another instructor that are co-sponsored for FFA, and of course this teacher that's sponsoring FCCLA and co-sponsored with Skills USA.
I would take the extra money and split it, or at least, you know, somehow even that out. My thought is, if you have, looking at FFA, we budgeted for three per chapter when indeed we only have one chapter, is what you're saying?
It's been sitting there as is, three per chapter, because there's been three sponsors there, but in all essence, Ms. Searles, one person has taken the initiative of doing
three people's work.
Exactly.
So would that not lead you to say, gee, we've got this extra money, that one person who's doing three people's work, theirs ought to be bumped up to probably $2,500 and their co-sponsor up to $1,000. And in so doing, you've rewarded the hard work
and I know they're bringing our students. I mean, those
yes.
students are
oh, really yes, definitely. They're working. Well. I'm very proud of them, yeah. I think. But, and if you feel that we could raise up the stipends for the sponsors, I'm in agreement, but not for the co-sponsors.
Okay. I would say that if the sponsors are that, you know, especially what you've just told me, one person's doing three persons' work, that person ought to go up, and possibly then your co-sponsors stay at level.
Okay.
That would be acceptable to me. I can't see when we as a board have all, as you know, we've supported career.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you, I greatly appreciate it.
We support it so much because we believe that, you know, not every student's gonna have an academic career on the other side of high school, and that these sponsors are causing that to mm-hmm. happen for these
right.
kids.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, no, I agree. And I agree. Do. I thank you very much strongly. For your support. But if that's your recommendation,
can we just then go back and just leave it the way it was?
No, because there's only one person doing three people's jobs, is what I just heard.
Well, but, you know, just to pay the stipends as there is, I know that coming down the pipe, Ms. Earls, for next year, one of the discussions that I'm already hearing at, for example, you know, all the other, on the academic side, the people getting stipends, like math stipends, science stipends, I mean, they're noticing some of these other stipends going up, theirs isn't. And, of course, theirs comes from the local side. And so there's we're creating a disparity between these large stipends that, you know, because we're raising, but then on the academic side, we're not able to raise because locally we don't have enough funds to support the large increments that we're giving everybody else. So I think that what we're going to do then, instead of continue raising them at this point, we just leave it as it is, and we just pay out the way you originally proposed to do this on the stipend list.
But there's still a disparity of three versus one.
There,
which
Ms. Arajo was to bring develop expectations for the clubs and organizations. I can
develop the expectations. The point is right now is that the discussion is between, I understand if you want to state where that stipend at is, or like Ms. Earl says, willing to raise it up, and I can suffice for my CTE instructors. I think they work more than probably an academic math teacher, because our CTE instructors are working year round to prepare these students in compared to what, I don't know, I can't stand with speak for the academics, but I see more of what our CTE instructors are doing as far as sponsoring. But I still feel that, you know, whether we stay with this salary or we raise it up, I think there should be a difference between a sponsor and a co-sponsor.
I can agree to that. I just can't agree to lowering the sponsors.
You know what? You've mentioned a particular person, and I think there is an issue there. That person is not doing that job. I think it's something internal that needs to be addressed. Whether that person should be receiving the stipend or not, it's something
well,
that you...
Well, they're doing it, but they're not doing the minimal.
Well, but it's something, but it's something that you have to address.
Correct.
It's something that you have to address.
But like, for example, okay, I have...
Whether she should, whether that person...
I don't have nothing against FFA. We do have an instructor there, but the chapter is only for one person. It's only allowable for one person.
Per district.
Per district, correct. In compared to the CLCSA.
Now, under FFA, can you have a sponsor and a co-sponsor? FFA?
Well, it's under the name. It's only under one name,
right.
and that's it.
Yeah,
we have the co-sponsor just to help out.
Yeah, but the bylaws, we can have, under FFA, we can have a sponsor and a co-sponsor.
Not really, Ms. Brigham. It's just under one person's name, and we're just putting that person
okay.
to help
so
out.
So what they're saying, Ms. Searles, okay, so that's what...
I've got it, but
yeah.
what she's I think what she's getting at, the bottom line is, on this page, three per chapter you can have, but we only have one and a helper.
Well, I'm correcting it because it's been like that, and I need to correct it because we never had three chapters.
I agree.
I think what they just, it was just a printing that, because there was three persons in agriculture, let's put those three persons, but it's not, it's incorrect, it's only one chapter. Yes. And of course these persons have helped out, but not necessarily have been there full time as the person originated. I'm willing, you know, one of them is no longer in, she's still an ag teacher, but she's geared herself to Skills USA. So it's just one of Ms. Bean helping out Mr. Gill, and she is stepping up to the part, but basically the person, the chapter, and the person that's doing the more part of it is Mr. Gill.
Could you maybe come back in Thursday's packet with a revision of these numbers and a clarification of 3 to 1.5? Does that make sense to you?
I don't know how the packet looks, but my understanding, I thought it was the
with your recommendation.
My recommendation?
Yeah. Of after what? Hearing what we've just said tonight, come back with a different recommendation to give to Ms. Brigham to put in our Thursday packet.
Okay.
For that specific area.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So
thank
we
you.
Will table all of the CTE for now. And then the other clarification that I wanted to make, and Juana can help me with this one, is on the athletic stipends. The stipend listing that you have now was kind of our revised format after TASB's visit this past year. And basically what they've told us, in the past we had a listing and it said girls and boys, basketball, girls basketball, boys basketball, you know, two per campus. Well, in the translation as we moved across, TASB had recommended that in our listing, we shouldn't reference gender. It's just basketball. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have separate girls and boys. So in combining those, we kind of, with the numbers, got a little off, and so we've made clarifications. For example, under athletic stipends, we've added the word per campus. That's for clarification, to understand, for example, middle school athletic coordinator per campus. We have the number one, but it's one per campus. So we added where we could per campus. Basketball ninth grade coach, basketball JV coach, and basketball varsity coach, there we've made some corrections. And so we wanted to bring those forward to the board to so that we can clarify that we're making those corrections based on our previous listing.
Madam Chair, I had another question.
Ms. Searles.
Actually, there's two of them. At the top of the page, the district science fair coordinator. The board mandated that we have everybody goes to the science fair and everybody participate in the science fair. And I think $350 is kind of a paltry amount.
I think, you know what we did? We dictated to Dr. Murphy.
Okay, and it just went by the wayside. I think that one ought to go up. That's a hard job.
What page are you on, Mr.
The district science fair coordinator.
The district science fair coordinator is not year around or like a semester type of thing.
Yeah, but it's intensive. It's hard. You know, when you were in this.
No, I understand, but
even just
in comparison with, I mean, what we have to do now like, what is maybe the county thing.
Well, I just saw a disparity there, and I also saw a disparity, and maybe there's a reason. The speech debate advisor gets $1,500, and everybody else goes underneath.
What page?
Page 118.
Thank you. Speech.
And it needs to be like that, but I just saw it kind of glaring disparity.
Ms. Rose, I guess those we can bring forth
once the budget for the new year is set, we can work on the rest of these stipends at that point.
But maybe they need to get that. I mean, I don't know.
Under the UIL, okay, I could clarify that for you, but under the UIL debate advisor, they do have UIL, most of the times, like informative speaking, persuasive speaking, prose interpretation, that is a one-time, when they do UIL competition among the high schools or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the speech debate advisor, they go on multiple things throughout the year.
Okay,
it's
so
not
that,
just
I got
the UIL. Because the UIL, most of the time when you say UIL, when you look in here,
yeah, you're
that's,
one shot.
That's that one shot where they're going to have one team.
Mm-hmm.
The debate team is all year
okay,
long.
Okay, then that makes good sense. And then they do
a UIL debate team and the UIL competition. Then they have a mock, then they have another trial.
Yeah, I believe, okay. Thank you. Yeah, then that's, there's no question, Ms. Carrasco, it was just explained.
Mm-hmm. And last year, that stipend was at $1,000. Versus the 1500, so it did go up for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the district science fair coordinator, that would stay the same, so that would be something that maybe we could look into for this coming year's budget. For this evening, I guess what I would like to recommend to the board for approval is Ms. Hammack's request to add for those Special Olympics, to add those two coordinators, and then of course the athletic corrections that were made for clarification.
I found another one, Ms. Carrasco. I don't know if we need to correct it now.
Okay.
Campus Science Fair Coordinator on page 3 of 7, mm-hmm. your page 3 of 7, or page 118.
Mm-hmm.
It says Campus Science Fair Coordinator per campus 1. Do we need to correct that now?
What it's saying in the little box above, it says elementary school, so it's actually...
Oh, middle school.
One
duh.
Are we looking at, Madam Chair, if I may?
Mr. Rodriguez?
Are we looking at the market as well, or we're just...
TASB looked at that when we did it last year,
mm-hmm.
so we will revisit that when we get ready for the budget.
For selling?
For next year.
This is just
right now to correct some of those athletic cycles and to clarification, and then it's to increase the ones for the Special Olympics that I think is coming down the pike, and Ms. Hammack was needing more
help. What I would like to add on to the stipend list is anybody that is dual language certified, that we add a stipend to that. I think it's critical when you're talking about long-term dual credit, sort of.
Dual credit.
So in other words, if you're dual credit certified at the high school, that way we could start teaching that and infuse it at the high school, what's happening at the community, at the
early
Northwest.
College.
Absolutely. That's a lot of money. Dual credit, I agree. What we're having, and I know this is...
If they're certified in teaching it, or just certified?
No, because they have to be certified to teach it.
They have to have a certain amount of hours.
Graduate hours in. They have to have 24 hours. Is it 24 hours long or is it 15?
Huh? They have to have 18 hours.
18 hours. I always get it wrong. I always want to give them 24. So that means they have to have 18 hours. That's 6 classes in junior level or above.
Right.
So that means you get off to the generalist and you're more in the, it's more specific. So that you have a person doing chemistry. And that's why it's so hard. It's a little bit more difficult to hire for early college, because when we go and sit there, we have to make sure they've already been certified or they can be certified. Juana knows this, we did it all last summer, remember? And we'd have to go, and it's harder. It's much harder. I'm going to be honest with you. It's much harder to get dual credit teachers. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think, and if you look at the long term, because some of the conferences with higher ed is, you know, there's some correlation when students take dual language credit to actually going into higher ed. And so it's pretty much we need to start putting the structure in place so that way the majority of our teachers at secondary level could have dual language capabilities. And then we could...
Dual credit.
You know, certification, so that way they could teach those.
I agree.
And then we just infuse what we're doing at the Northwest and our secondary across, and we have more more qualified at the Northwest. So I would say that, like, how much are we giving the, is it 1,005 or 2,000? That we look around that?
No, we just give them the masses then, don't we?
Well, let them look at the market.
Is
how much?
$1,500.
No, but I think what we need to do is add another one because this is for dual language.
No.
I mean, dual credit certification, and so they have that. And the more teachers that we have with that certification, then we'll be able to offer, whether it's a history, because you might have a master's, and it's not in that concentration. We need to make sure that they're sort of highly qualified in that area. And so I would recommend that it would be a separate for dual credit certification at $1,500.
And currently, the teachers get paid a master's stipend if their mastery is in their teaching field.
But this is separate from.
Yeah.
So
what about
I would require
asking TASB what their recommendation would be for
that. Well, go ahead and do that.
I think it's excellent.
I know they'll be down visiting us again, so we'll sit down and go over this.
I heard they want to relocate to Canutio.
You're so fresh.
Into the old CE building.
The Lone Star building. We can't remember the Lone Star building.
So those are certainly proposals or recommendations that we can make when we come around to the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Season and bring this
I'd like that, Mr. Rodriguez. I'll make a note of that because I do think that would be a worthwhile endeavor. And I know Mr. Coronado, he's always asking me how many kids in high school get dual credit. How many
yes.
kids get dual credit. So I know that's his little.
But if we have them certified,
I agree.
We have more people being.
Oh, because we can offer.
So it just has a trickle down effect, and so we sort of bring that model at Northwest into the high school.
And it's very hard to schedule right now because there's so few of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is like a scheduling nightmare to try to get them scheduled because there's so few. Yeah. I do think it's a need.
Okay, so are you okay with the recommendation?
Yes. Corrections and clarification for athletics.
I have something else before I
okay, Mr. Rodriguez.
Just on the governmental trust mm-hmm. one, I think what we need to look at is also, I mean, that's pretty much my job when it comes to the Association of Realtors. And if we're going to lower, I think there could be some people that have worked with either on the state legislator or the federal and know how to rebuild and provide that. So.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Y'all have a
good night. We're not
thank
done.
You, Mr. Rodriguez.
Okay. So.
This is very good.
Okay, next agenda item. So we can recommend it to the board. Thank you. You know the summary. Thank you. Next agenda item.
EIA Local Academic Achievement Grading Progress Reports to Parents, Presenter Ms. Fiello.
Where is she? MIA.
MIA, Martha. No, not you, Martha. Oh.
Adjourned. Martha, what's the text?
And they really see what we have to have.
That is a lot of kids.
Sorry. But we had a long agenda.
No, I know, but we just got to
have a lot.
I'm sure they do.
We haven't gotten that far. But that's what he's going to tell you. Yeah. I can ask Hector.
No, I'm just kidding.
What do you want? How many?
And carry that book.
I can give you that.
But you don't necessarily any high school need that.
Right.
You could have.
One more. I know.
Which one? The group that is coming in. Have any of them dropped out? And then are they still?
Are you talking about which year?
Any of those students that were there? No, no. Just what TA we were at.
Oh, last year.
No, the 2 years, 2010.
And we have to, as a.
Whatever TA requests.
I always ask them to register in the student. Were they in trouble at the other school?
Because they're
serving there.
Because they're not.
Oh,
of course. No, it's good.
And they'll still sit. And I'll call it.
Did you?
That,
yeah.
Did they just have you sign it?
From, yes, from the four districts. Yes.
Did you read it?
Yes.
Any
that's the one that you have gone to that one.
Yeah, but there's a nice grade with Zukowski.
So, how many have dropped you?
Let's start there.
I can present.
That can work.
I like your presentation. It's kind of flashy.
Bling, bling.
You're right.
I've said that. My son is one of these. Yeah.
I showed it to my little niece. She's like, what is that?
I know. They don't know what this
know
one
what is.
My son got the blue one.
They don't know what it is.
Yeah, he got the blue.
It's much more comprehensive than they ask. Do you want, I can present.
What are you presenting?
I can present EIE.
Okay, go.
I can present EIE.
So they don't want to be there.
No, how about EIA?
About EIO.
EIA local achievement rating process reports to parents. Do you want to table that one?
No.
Ms. Vero has left.
No, she can present.
The building? Like Gelfis?
Huh?
Like Gelfis?
Patricia.
No. She can present.
Okay, you don't want me to present?
You present.
You want me to present?
Yes, you can present. I don't want to table it.
It's off. I don't get how it's making that noise.
Let's move forward.
All right, so under EIA local, if you notice right here, it's clarification that eighth grade student who takes high school course with an EOC assessment is not required to also take the eighth grade STAR examination for that subject. So that's going to help that there's going to be one less EOC that those kids have to take once they get into high school.
Right.
Okay. So I do think, and if you look, I think that what they did is we just pulled this when Ms. Gonzalez gave that information. Grant Dash Gonzalez. She changed her name.
That's right.
I'm confused.
Okay.
She was born when she was.
Okay, so the students are not going to be double tested. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? No, we're moving forward.
Okay.
Recommended to the board.
Next
agenda item. Thank you.
It's EIE.
And that's part of the update 95.
Yes.
And it was removed out because of the Chinese theater had not reviewed it. She has since reviewed it and is in agreement with it. So basically what happened, the revisions to EIE local were made to align with the changes that were made to EIE legal. And so that was why it was included in that update 95. And like I said, since then she's went in and reviewed it and she's in agreement with it.
Okay. No questions from committee? We're okay. We're in agreement. Okay, recommend it to the full board.
And then that goes to the full board?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, item 3, community input.
Community input, Ms. Brigham.
No.
Okay, this brings us to the next agenda item.
Item 4, adjournment.
Adjournment by unanimous consent. Anonymous and unanimous. The time is 9:51. My phone says 9:54, so whatever you want it to be. Good night. 9:54. Good night, everyone.
Good
night. This is...
I have the noisy one.
Mr.
Okay. Okay, let me